So do they do that a lot? Give it up for the neighborhood, or yeah, like you oh, said, yeah. like for that.
These guys smoker. Here, like these guys here, you can see that if you look there, you see Luna Mulberry, or Cha Cha's in the corner where the fire hydrant is. The Cha Cha's in the red there. That's because these two restaurants behind us, these two artists, when they were kids, Crash and Days. There's Cha Cha's and Luna. Crash and Days were the kids that were the ones that started painting trains in the 70s in New York.
Really?
They're old school graffiti guys. The guys that did it all.
I see a red door and I want it painted black. No colors anymore, I want them to turn black. I see the girls walk by dressed in their summer clothes. I have to turn my head until my darkness goes.
I've done this intro like 9 times already. You guys, Ari Shaffir, Skeptic Tech, episode 229. Lisa, listen, so here's the deal. Should I tell you about the episode? I love walking around New York City. It's one of my favorite things to do. And it's amazing right now. The summer in the city, you guys. People are angry. People are happy. It's my favorite. It's humid, but I don't care. Doesn't matter when you get your shirt off. But at night, it's t-shirt weather. Fucking sweet. It might rain for a minute. But it's a good rain. It cools everybody off. You can walk in it. Lovely. And I'm back here for a week before I go to Edinburgh. A week. By the way, I'll be in Edinburgh. Okay, so here's the deal with my Edinburgh shows. They're all This Is Not Happening shows at 11 o'clock at the Ace Theater, the Pleasant Dome, something like that. Pleasant Theater, Ace Dome. It's on the website. It's on my website, arithegreat.com. So it's going to be Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Every night, 11 o'clock show. Thursday, 11 o'clock show, Friday, and Saturday and Sunday. And the topics are going to be, every Thursday is going to be the same topic, and every Friday is going to be the same topic, and every Saturday is going to be the same. So if you come, you can come to 4 different shows in a week, and they'll all be different. So like, Thursday will be battles, Friday will be sex, Saturday will be drugs, you know, and Sunday will be whatever, travel. And then the next week, it'll be the same thing. So the lineups will be different every time with different comics. I will probably repeat some of the stories. Not in the same week. Those will all be different. But like, you know, what I do this Thursday for travel, I might do the same next Thursday for travel. But nobody goes for more than a week, I heard. So if you're going to be there, and even if you know people that are going there, tell them that this is the show to go see. You should please tell them. Spread the word. Dude, I'm going to lose like 10 grand here. Maybe not. Maybe it'll be really good. But that's what they tell me. Maybe it'll be really good. But do me a favor. It all works on hype there, right? So fucking tell everybody else. Like, oh, you got to go see this show that I'm going to go see. Shows in Montreal were wonderful. Nothing was as good as Roast Battle. Roast Battle stole Montreal Comedy Festival. It's anybody talked about. The Roast Masters Invitational. I judged the first night. What an honor. What a treat with Artie Lang. Jimmy Carr beat Will Anderson. Tony Hinchcliffe beat Lunel. DeRosa beat Mike Ward. And somebody else and something else. Oh, the puppet. Anyway, that's all anybody talked about in Montreal, this fucking roast battle tournament. And Jimmy Carr kept annihilating people, and he fucking won the tournament, and people fucking heralded him. All the comedians were talking about Jimmy Carr's win at the Roast Masters Invitation. I'm telling you guys, you wouldn't think it would be, but it is. So anyway, the best thing about walking around is you come across these strange, crazy murals. These 5-story-long, high pictures. Really interesting, beautiful art. They're everywhere. I was in Montreal with Bert. We were going down to get Schwartz's. Got locked out. It was Saturday at 1 p.m. We're idiots. We went somewhere else. But on the way, we passed all these murals there too, on Rue Saint Laurent. We saw one guy making a mural. Started it off. We walked. We came back after we ate. Ex-Benedict. Bert, that's not healthy. That's not eggs. Eggs Benedict. And then they were already, the fucking 4 people were working on it. Anyway, if you walk around New York, you see all of these. And my friend Wayne Rada used to be a booker at the Boston Comedy Club and Stand Up New York. That's how I got into Stand Up New York. He booked me. He was cool enough to book me. He left. He's out of comedy. But he started working with these muralists. That's definitely the wrong word. And he started working with business owners to let him do these things on their buildings. And so he brings these cool fucking artists down into like Lower East Side and Lower Manhattan. And if you walk around, you'll see these beautiful fucking pictures on the wall, on buildings and stuff. Just on the outsides, on the fronts, on the sides. Legit people. Shepherd Ferry has a big mural there. A bunch of people. Anyway, he's in charge of this thing called the Lisa Project. Lisa Project NYC, I think, is their Instagram or Twitter. I'll put everything on the website. But he helps us. He helps do this stuff. And once he showed me this stuff, like he gave me a Steiner, a piece of Steiner. I don't even know his first name, but I like liked it. And he's like, fuck it, have it. When I was at his barbecue on 4th of Memorial Day. Yeah, that's right. Anyway, then I started noticing Steiner works all around. Once it opens your eye to it, you can't fucking not see it. There's this mural. There's this alphabet mural on like 4th and like B, maybe. Maybe C. Maybe 4th or 5th and C also. It's every letter of the alphabet in this weird monster. Weird monster shape. Everyone's a different creature. It's cool. I start seeing other artists after we talk. This guy, Zio Ziglar, and I asked him about it. He's like, yeah, that guy's rad, man. So anyway, he told me all about the beginnings, the origins of this kind of stuff, how he gets the artists to come down there, the type of people they works with, all that stuff, the costs involved, the legality of it, how it started from the tagging days on subway trains to where it is now. By the way, my storyteller show at the Creek in the Cave this Tuesday, the 28th, it's probably sold out by the time this comes out. Yeah, it should, I think it'll be sold out. But Rebecca is going to open up $5 tickets for downstairs. They did this at the Big J Roast. So if you want to come, she's just going to screen it downstairs while it's going on upstairs, which is sold out. You can still say hi to everybody. You can drink and be at a bar while it's happening. And the money will go straight to the comedians. That's right, UCB. Extra money comes in, and that also goes to the comedians. So come down. It's going to be a really good lineup. Should I surprise you? I'll just surprise you. But it'll be really good. Bonnie, Rich, Saw Volcano, Sean Patton makes his return, and Mark Normand. I didn't surprise you. All right, should we start the episode? So anyway, listen, here's the deal. Wayne has started this thing called the Low Man Arts Festival. Lower Manhattan Art Festival. That's the website, lowmanartfest.org. They need volunteers. He puts his shit up for free. It's not a profit situation. He gets fucking rad artists who are million-dollar guys that come work for free in Lower Manhattan putting up murals. And so he needs some. They're having this festival where they're taking people on tours. They're doing public speeches and panels from artists. They're having musicians. And they need some volunteers. So if you guys want to help something really cool, all they do, these murals, all they're for is beauty. Like, they don't exist to, like, help any business. There's nothing. Occasionally a business, well, he'll talk about it, gets involved. But, like, they're just there so people can enjoy them. So when you're walking around, when you're stoned and walking around Manhattan, fucking look up at the cool parts of Manhattan, you know? Not like Times Square, they don't have shit like this, but like in the cool parts of Manhattan. The East Village, Lower Manhattan, Lower East Side, Little Italy. This stuff is everywhere. So go to lowmanartfest.org and volunteer. I don't know. Help it out. Be part of it. It's cool. So this podcast, he takes me on a tour also of all these rad murals and anyway. Should be cool. Go to AriTheGreat.com for tickets for Edinburgh. And that's it. I got nothing for a while. But I'm going to enjoy this week. Man, the summer in the city. I love it. Why do I love it so much? Why do I love it so much? I don't know. All right, you guys. Let's start the episode. Ari Shaffir, Skeptic Tank. Episode I saw Segura's new hour. It's pretty good. It's pretty damn good. He had me laughing a bunch. I didn't get to see too much comedy in Montreal. I was working too much. But I did see that. I saw Bert Kreischer kill it at the goddamn Comedy Jam. My storyteller show was great. Artie Lang did it for the first time. And it was awesome. Artie Lang did it. It was fucking rad. Sebastian did it. First time. Been wanting that to happen for a while. Man, and Kreischer crushed. Crushed on that. Story of the festival on my show. Had to be. Thomas Middleditch, that guy was good. That guy surprised me. He was really good. But Bert Kreischer, man, when he tells a story, there's only two stories I've ever seen like this where it's done. Nobody has to say, all right, that's my story. Thank you. Good night. It's just like, you just know. When he tells the Tracy Morgan story, you know, at the end of that, it's like, and that's how you get out of paying a $200 ball tab. It's just everybody's like on their feet. Boom, it's done. Lights go down. And then he did the same shit at my storyteller show this week. It's fucking great. Just endings. I gotta work on that. All right. So I'm off to Edinburgh next week. I guess I'll have to upload it before I leave or I'll be on the plane. Who knows what awaits for me there? We'll see. I'm going to do some stuff. Hiking. Kinane's doing that show the last week. Michael Che's doing it some week. Glenn Wool, Pete Johansson. Bunch of guys. Russell Howard did it in Montreal. That was cool. I'm meandering. All right, let's start the episode. Ladies and gentlemen, this episode is brought to you by water. Water. When you're looking for staying alive, you need good, cheap fluid. Think water. Go to water.org/RE for 10% discount on all your tap water. Thank you, water. All right, Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank, episode 229. Lisa. With Wayne Rada starts now. Oh, and the festival, the Lowman Art Fest, is August 5th through 9th. I'm going to be gone. I'm going to fucking miss it because I'm going to be in Scotland. But I've seen a lot of the murals and they're fucking rad. But it's August 5th through 9th, so go on there. Lowmanartfest.org. Thank you, water. One more time. Okay, let's start the episode. So check.
Praying that a game's on. Maybe it's the running reps. Maybe it's the Knicks. Maybe it's a rerun of an old TV show like Hawaii 5-0 or Karate Flicks. Maybe if the phone rings, butterfly will take wings. Speaking on some cool things, fronting like I cope. Born under flat ground, now I'm chilling shaky ground. Reaching for Pacific Heights, Sunday is my rope. Dig it. Sunday's to relax. Sunday's to relax. Some Sunday morning drama is calling up my mom.
All right, I'll do introductions later, but this is Wayne Rada.
Hey, what's up, Ari? How are you?
So here's the only thing you got to know about these mics.
Yep.
You got to put it about here.
Right here?
Yeah, you don't have to touch it.
No, don't eat the mic, just like right here. Gotcha. Yeah. All right, cool.
Where in the neighborhood are we in, first of all?
We are in historic Little Italy, NYC.
Yeah, it's all torn up.
Bam. You can tell we're in New York if you get here.
God, the cab driver got into a fight with maintenance guy. Somebody was doing some work on the streets.
Nice.
And he was just, the guy was like waiting. He goes, why are you telling me to wait? Don't fucking talk to me.
You told me to wait.
Driver.
I'm like, why are you telling me to wait?
Yeah, can you just go? Like, I'm going somewhere.
Yeah, hilarious.
He just like stopped to like hassle him for a while.
Well, that's the New York way. Shit rolls downhill, Ari.
Yeah, exactly. So you used to be a comedy booker, but
yeah, right. Well, there is life after comedy.
Yeah,
absolutely.
That's what I'm finding.
Well, you know, and I'd like to talk, if you want to talk a little bit about comedy before that. Yeah, my background was Barry Katz. I came up during the Dane Cook MySpace days when he, you know, blew up MySpace and made it crazy.
Really did.
And I segued into managing and booking clubs. When Patrice passed away, it took some of the piss out of me. I'm going to be honest with you. Some of my pals, comedy pals, passed. So to keep fighting, to try to get into some shitty club, is like whatever, you know.
Yeah, you build a guy like Patrice up and see him kind of like
you die
what he is, and then it's like, oh fuck.
Yeah, it was a bummer. It was a real bummer. But the one thing about it was is that I was always into art. I always enjoyed collecting. I always enjoyed supporting, going to shows. And, you know, after the film Exit Through the Gift Shop came out, it became a real trendy kind of thing. We put up some murals. I was producing for Caroline Hirsch. She owns the New York Comedy Festival. Yeah. So I was producing for her.
And producing shows for her?
Shows for her, yeah. And Louis Ferranda, her executive producer, I had a meeting with them both. And they were looking for a fun idea to promote the festival. And I suggested we put up some funny art. And Caroline and Louis both are Italian-Americans. Louis actually was born off of Grand Street in Mulberry in the heart of Little Italy. And so I suggested we, like I said, put up some funny art. And the result of it would be like this piece here, this rendition of Audrey Hepburn.
I saw this the other day.
Titled Audrey of Mulberry by the artist Trisden Eaton. And it creates, for the festival,
there's his name.
There's his name, yep. And we created like selfie moments. Back in 2012 is when social media was coming into the fold. People were using Instagram and Twitter to promote shows and promote whatever. And this was a way for the festival to utilize the art, which was a visual medium for Instagram, to connect social media to the festival by putting up some cool art.
So
I'll show you some more.
Yeah. So what's this one from?
This one was actually just after the festival. The thing about it is that we did really well. We put up a lot of beautiful art for the Comedy Festival.
Is this stuff still up from November?
Some of it. Well, no. What happened is Hurricane Sandy. So the day we finished everything, Hurricane Sandy hit and messed everything up. So I had to replace the mural that was on this wall here. Originally, there was a mural here that was a comedy mural based on Aziz Ansari. He was doing Carnegie Hall.
Yeah.
And we only have one that remains from the initial promotion, which is a four-story version of the Baby Hulk title.
I saw that one.
Temper Tot. Yep. By Ron English.
You made that come?
Yeah. So we have the four-story version of it on Mulberry Street, and then there's another rendition of it on Bowery and Houston.
I saw that one, but that seems more like it's whatever it's called.
It is a wheat paste. Yeah, it's a wheat paste. It's essentially glorified wallpaper. The reason they do that there, normally they paint, but it gets graffitied up so hard that the imagery that the people love it so much, they put it up in that way so that it could be easily cleaned, kind of spray it down and give it a little wash off. Yep.
Yeah, I saw some graffiti on there. There's no like honor among artists of like, this guy made this amazing giant four-story painting. I'm not going to tag it.
Well, the thing about it is, the reason they do it, it's a way for them to gain notoriety. So many pictures, people are taking pictures of it that they, you know, again, Instagram, Facebook, all social media. It's a way to get your name out there. Because for graffiti writers and street artists are two different animals. Graffiti writers are, it's very rebellious, along with street art. They share similar qualities. But for graffiti, it's about getting your name up there and out there. And if
your
you have somebody,
name or whatever,
yep, your
like,
tag, yep, exactly.
Sticks One or whatever their fucking names are.
Whatever nonsense they create.
Stupid. How do they find out what their names are going
to
be?
Well, you know, they sit around smoking weed, talking to friends. They're in high school. They're kids.
Yeah.
We do also do historical murals. This mural
What's
here.
That?
By Bo Stanton that looks like Titanic. Actually, it's a steamer, and that's what immigrants coming from Italy back in the late 1800s, early 1900s would take from Italy to the United States. And you see the eye kind of open to close, and or how you look at it closed to open. That imagery represents realizing the dream
of the American dream.
The American dream, coming to America and making it happen. Actually, if you look over to your left, you see where it says stable, that with the green and white building.
Uh-huh.
That place was originally where if you were an Italian-American, you would come from Ellis Island, go right to there. You could get a mailbox.
Guido,
you'd get your mail there. They'd give you a haircut.
Really?
They'd shine your shoes. They'd get you ready. And they would introduce you to people in the neighborhood so you could find a job.
So you get going.
Yeah. So you could kind of get a leg up.
So when you say we commission or whatever, what do you mean we?
Well,
what are
we meaning so there's Little Italy, the Little Italy Merchants Association. They're responsible for the things that happen in a historic Little Italy. What I have is something called the LISA Project, which stands for Little Italy Street Art, and it's their nonprofit. It's their nonprofit entity, and I curate. I created the project and curated the project. After Hurricane Sandy hit, the merchants noticed, like, wow, people really love this stuff. Do you want to paint some more? I'll cover up some of the vandalism and some of the ugly walls. And I said, sure. As a nod to where the project was created, I named it LISA Project Little Italy Street.
So, like, this one, like, whose building is this?
This building belongs to a gentleman named Hassan, who actually owns the business as well. That's in the base of the building.
And is he paying for that?
No. Well, what we do is yes and no. The merchants have a system where people pay dues. So out of those funds, we commissioned the artist to paint the mural. We cover dues all
for
the
like
logistics.
The, for like the community dues, kind of like that?
It's a community. What it is, it's meant to beautify the neighborhood, and it's a gift to the city.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh,
and
wow.
It kind of creates, like, by having these frescoes, we create an environment where people could come, enjoy lunch or dinner, or go for a walk and sip on an
espresso.
That's
what I was doing with this girl. We were walking along, and I started seeing some of these.
Yeah. Like the Italian flower here. This is done by Michael DeFeo, the flower guy. And, again, it's just a simple...
What does that mean? He likes doing flowers?
Yeah, he just does flowers. And and we just did a simple rendition of a flower in the Italian colors. And that's it. And it's meant to, like, again, like before, those were two brown, ugly doors. Now you have a vibrant, beautiful flower.
Now it's beautiful.
Yep.
Yeah, as we were walking along, we were like kept coming across them. That's where we saw the Hulk.
Yep.
I didn't see that one. I saw that Audrey Hepburn.
Yep.
And it was just like, well, this is nice.
Yeah, right. It's something to look at because, you know, there's a lot of souvenir shops and a lot of junk shops, and
a lot
that's
of junk
cool.
Shops.
The tourists love this shit.
I'm the boss.
You know, you know what I mean? It's like, hey, I'm with stupid, bitch one, bitch two kind of stuff.
God, all that tourism shit just takes the aesthetics completely out of a neighborhood.
It does. Listen, it's not one of my
it's
favorite
garbage.
Things about Little
it's
Italy.
It's the worst thing about Bangkok and any of these places where it's like, what is all this kitschy shit you're selling?
Well, it's what it is. What it comes down to, Ari, is that it's like people, like, if they stop buying the shit, they wouldn't be here. But people always want to take a little something home when they visit here, whether it's a national, tourist or international tourist. They always want to get a shot glass with Little Italy on it.
Yeah, I guess so.
People, like, there's all sorts of crap. And by the way, they buy this shit, and I ask them, I'm like, what do you do with it when you get home? You give it away to people, you forget about it, you put it on a shelf, it collects dust. What good is it?
Yeah,
and then you end up throwing it away or selling it at a garage sale.
Yeah. So yeah, that's like becomes the only option. Finding a way to get rid of the shit you've acquired.
Right, right. All the crap you bought. Imagine all the money you could have if you had saved... if you had not bought the shit and put it kept in your pocket. As we, one of the,
I think about that sometimes. If I can make a giant pile of the garbage I've never used that I bought, like how much money that would equal to.
And then think about like how people move. Like you're a comedian, so you're always kind of in a state of motion.
Yeah.
Let's just imagine all the crap you pack in your suitcase that you don't need. Like, why did I bring these shoes, these jeans, this T-shirt?
Yeah, I've moved with stuff sometimes like 2 or 3 times without really... Oh, that's a nice one.
Yeah, that's a real nice one. Let's actually take you over because this one's done by Alice Pasquale, Alice. Alice is Italian for Alice. She did this beautiful imagery, which is looking for my future in my espresso.
And it's right just by like a restaurant.
A Terramina, right. And the idea is Terramina, especially in the summer and late spring, summer and fall, they're open for breakfast. So they'll put tables out on the weekends. We close down the street between Canal and Broome.
Yeah.
And all the cafes spread onto the sidewalk and the street becomes a sidewalk. So no cars can park. All the cars are gone.
Oh, I've been here for
and
that.
And people could just kind of chill. And that's another thing that I do for the merchants. I do all their events and things of that nature. So
how'd you hook up with them?
Through the comedy festival.
Oh,
yeah,
that's
yeah,
that's
through the comedy festival. Yeah, I met him, and we, you know,
that was really nice. And look at these fucking taggers, man.
Yeah, they tapped out of it. We leave it alone because it's already been hit. So if we were to kind of repair it, more people would try to tag it. So I just assume leave the tags there because it's already they're at least they're respectful about it because you can see how they kind of fit it into spots that were blank.
Put white over the dark. Yeah, they don't like cover up her eyes or anything.
No, or the
that'd
face like that. Right. No. So they like the art, and I have a good relationship with the graffiti community. The Lisa Project is all inclusive, so we include everybody. Graffiti artists, contemporary artists,
what's
street
her name?
Artists.
Alice?
Alice. Alice Pasquale.
Alice.
Yep. Oh. Yeah, she's a brilliant brilliant artist, I believe, out of Milan.
Oh, that's her hand there.
And then across
and so
the street.
So she lives here, and then it's like...
Well, they come, they tour, man. Street artists are like comedians. That's why it was such an easy way to segue out of comedy into art, because just like comedians going on the road, artists go on the road, too, because they want to spread their, you know, their art out there. These pieces here are done by L'Amour Supreme. He did the backdrop for...
He did the what?
For what's her name? Miley Cyrus. He's a guy responsible for his...
L'Amour Supreme?
L'Amour Supreme, and these are all variations of tin toys from back in the day.
Cool.
Yeah, these are called
I like
creepy
the colors
cuties.
On this.
Yeah. Yeah, we wanted to paint something that was vibrant that people like to stand in front of and take pictures, as you can see. Create selfie moments.
Now, is this store open? No.
No, they're closed. That's one of the reasons why, like, for example, certain businesses close up or the owners boot out and they just, you know, people are so rich that they don't need to rent their
and, like,
property.
This might not be rented for another year or two.
And this has
in
been empty
meantime.
Now for 3 years, so I put art on it, yeah.
And when it opens, like, well, people, I guess they'll lose it.
Well,
or
we'll
they'll
lose
only get it at night.
Well, at night. They'll see it in the evening, yeah. But that's okay, though. That's a great thing about
is
New
that
York.
Part
it's
of the
organic.
Game of the of street art?
Well, the idea
like,
is
it's
right.
Temporary?
Well, it is temporary. By nature, the very definition of street art, because somebody could take it down, people can buff over it, it could get ruined, you know, you never know, you know.
You got pictures of all this stuff?
Oh, sure, of course, yeah, on the website. If you go to lisaprojectnyc.org, you can see all the murals that Ari and I are talking
really?
About today.
Okay.
Absolutely.
I'll link that on the site for the yep. When the episode comes out. Yeah, these are cool. Dude, that Steiner you gave me, who I never heard of.
Yeah, Steiner's great,
first
right?
First of all, coolest shit that you gave that to me.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm glad
right
you
now,
enjoy it.
I still have all my other art in a box. That's the only thing I have hanging up.
I'm going to show you actually a cool piece by Steiner.
Yeah, I've been seeing some Steiner shit all around.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Once you see it, then it's like in your brain.
You can't unsee it?
No, that's like the street art now. Now, after I take you on the tour, when you walk home or you go for a walk anywhere, yeah. you'll start to notice stickers and little things in the corners, hidden nooks and crannies. Artists are very sneaky. Yeah. Just like comedians, like how most people are too dumb to realize that you guys put in positive messages for change or sticking up for the rights, you know, your freedom of speech.
Yeah, you gotta hide it.
You know, right, you gotta masquerade it in comedy. Here we have an image of the Mona Lisa on the famous Umberto's Clam House, one of the greatest restaurants in Little Italy. And they had asked me, hey, will you do a version of Mona Lisa? And if I did a classic Mona Lisa, nobody would give a shit about it. That's in the Louvre. You can go see Mona Lisa. But if I do a cool street art version,
they wanted you to do Mona Lisa.
They wanted Mona Lisa. So I gave them this version of Mona Lisa, which people absolutely love and enjoy.
Yeah, cool.
The owner of the restaurant, Robert Iannello, a very good, great man. He's the president of the Merchants Association, commissioned this piece. It's done by Chris RWK. And the cool thing, and Chris and Venge, RWK, the cool thing about this is that Chris's great-grandfather was a cook for the original Umberto's going some 40 years back.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that awesome?
I feel like some of this stuff is like... not a double meaning, but like specificity to like that. You know,
well, listen,
it's like I've actually my grandparents worked at this place, so I'm giving back to that specific place.
We want to try to capture. Listen, it's a historic neighborhood, so you want to capture the essence of what Little Italy is about. But at the same time, I try to make it cool so that people of a younger age can appreciate it and enjoy it.
By and go rad.
Yeah, cool. Or like I said, or take a picture. Or in the summertime when they're really busy, people will actually wait for the tables so they can
sit right next to it.
Yeah. I don't know why, but they seem to dig it.
I get that.
Let's actually cross, because there's another real great one that actually has some cool hidden meanings in it as well.
One of us got hit by a car while we're doing the
podcast. No, I'm Mulberry Street, pal. Oh, we'll be good for the for the podcast.
No, you just hear it in the background.
I remember when Ari lost his left foot. It was tragic. See, but that stuff takes away. But then if you walk up here, you see this piece here, which is a mashup of Renaissance artwork as well
and
as street
Mickey
art.
Mouse.
Yeah. And this is done by Osmo, again, another artist out of Milan. And if you see there, her bosom is covered. Initially, she was topless, but we had to cover them up. And
who got mad?
Well, the community got mad because there's a pair of tits hanging out. And we thought, well, it's a nude. It's beautiful. It's Renaissance.
Yeah.
They didn't feel the same way.
They made the cover up.
We had to cover it up. That was a bit dramatic for us. And he put the numbers 1 and 2 over the nipples as his way of rebelling against.
Screw you.
Yeah. Yeah, which
what
people?
Are the, what are the words he's using? Do it better, quantity versus quality.
Do it better, quality. Well, these were things when I hang out with the artists while they're painting.
Yeah.
And for example, you see they're not Adidas. Uh-huh. I told them like, hey, that looks like Adidas, and they write not Adidas. The people talk about the Lisa project. There are other mural projects in the country and the world, and they have hundreds and hundreds of murals. You know, I have 46. And I told Osmo that it's quantity versus quality, but he's Italian, so he mixed it up. It's actually quality versus quantity, but we left it alone because I thought it was funny, and that's what we do here. We may not have hundreds of murals, but what we do have is amazing and cool.
And what is this on? What is this structure thing?
What's that?
It's a back door.
No, it's a door that actually goes to the storage for the restaurant.
Oh, okay.
So again, it was a door that had tags on it, but it was just a big mess, and we turned a big mess into beautiful art.
Even if it was blank, it's kind of those things are kind of ugly.
Right. Yeah.
And then
blank
now you
walls
make, like, something
are,
like amazing out of it. I don't know.
Well, if you could inspire somebody, if you could put a pretty picture on something. Give somebody people something to look at and enjoy and give them pleasure.
Yeah.
Then why not? You know, that's really like my biggest argument. When I talk to some of the merchants who are a little more old school and they're like, what does this have to do with Little Italy? I'm like, well, there are frescoes all over Italy.
That don't have something to do with Italy. They have something to do with God a lot.
Right. Religious thoughts or it's a moment in time that's been long forgotten.
Uh-huh.
You know, some type of celebration that nobody remembers. We're going to walk forward.
Like if you did a mural for like a gay pride parade or something, and then like 200 years later.
Yeah,
like,
and also murals like that, as a gay guy, let's put it this way, you know, that like nobody gives a shit. Like 50 years from now, nobody's going to care who's gay, straight, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
That's going to be so, like, you know, it's like, you know. So like, it's like kind of like.
But there'll be like art and like literature and shit of that experience
of that, right,
would still be relevant. Not, it wouldn't like apply to anybody, but like it, time and a place, like you said.
Right, right. No, if I encapsulate something. Now, if I were to do something for the gay community, like put up a, like I'm talking about like putting up just a fist to like fight the power. Nobody cares. But if you put up something that's eloquent, right, maybe a portrait. Yeah. That would have meaning then. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, this portrait here is done by a Chicago artist by the name of Don't Fret. And this area before, it was closed for a while before it became yet another junk shop here.
Yeah.
And the waiters across the street of the restaurants would come over here and take their smoke breaks. So when the shop came into play, they couldn't smoke here anymore. So I thought it would be funny if we painted a picture of a waiter taking a smoke break.
So what do you tell Don't Fret? You say, I want a picture of a waiter, and then say,
well,
go from there?
Or what do you do? There's some curation, but what I told, for example, what I told Don Fred is, I'm like, he goes, I said, Don Fred, I have a door that you could paint. Okay, cool. He goes, what happens over here? I said, well, waiters take a smoke break over here, but they can't do it anymore because all this stuff is up now. And he goes, you know what would be funny, Wayne? And I'm like, what, Don't Fret? Or he goes, what if we were to paint a mural of a waiter taking a smoke break? I'm like, I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. So for me, I kind of give autonomy and creative license to the artists. A lot of the artists donate their time to the charity. As a matter of fact, every artist has donated their time to charity. I've never had to pay one fee for the artist's
for
work.
All these murals?
All these murals, they've all donated their time. Audrey Hepburn, everything I'm about to show you too, some even some bigger
the one
ones.
One of the doors that with the crazy colors?
All that stuff, all for free. I provide the paint. I provide the logistics. I give them a meal. I feed them. I
treat
the family nice. But they come here on their own accord.
Why?
Just be a part of it. I've created an environment, a very special environment that people want to be a part of. And just like the stage, like any booker who has a great stage, you know, you want to share it with two things. You obviously want to share it with celebrities so people get attention.
Yeah.
But if you're not, as a comedy club booker or owner, if you're not developing young talent and working with young artists, then what good are you? Not everybody starts out Louis C.K. or Chris Rock.
Yeah, you got to see something in somebody. The Nick Mullins of the world, nobody's helping.
You got to help.
Come on, push them up.
No, everybody, you got to prop them up. Listen, I was one of the first people to book Joe DeRosa, Dan Soder used to do check spots for me.
Really?
And now, look at him. Look at how amazing he is. So that being said, I just applied those same concepts to the artist. Don't Fret is a Chicago artist.
And so they want to just be associate. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, well, with Chicago, as you can see, is a little more raw than, like, let's say, the Audrey Hepburn piece, which was a little more refined. But eventually, his style.
Oh, he's newer, you're saying?
Oh, yeah, he's a newer, younger guy. He would be, again, like, you know,
yeah,
Dan Soder.
It's like, you're not good, but you're better than the people you started with.
Well, we have something interesting
to say. Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
If you're saying something that's meaningful, but you haven't figured out exactly how to turn it into a proper joke, then that's worth developing. That's worth exploring.
I heard they taught Andre Agassi how to hit hard first, and then they taught him how to aim.
They're right.
You know?
Well, Mr. Norris taught me in seventh grade in English class. He said, let's learn how to write creative writing class. He says, let's learn to write the proper way first, and then after we understand the rules, then you can take your own creative license and
on
do
purpose
it right.
For a reason, yeah, and not right. Just because I don't know how.
Right.
Yeah.
Because in that way, because, you know, listen, there's nothing worse, I don't know about you, but there's nothing worse when people don't understand simple grammar or punctuation. And that being said, you know, you want your message to get out there in the right way, in a proper way.
Well, it's also like people used to shit on, like, the modernist arts, and they're like,
well,
anybody
sure.
Can paint a box. Like, yeah, but that guy can paint really amazing stuff. He
right.
Chooses to paint just a box.
Right, correct. And all an artist, like, for example, here's the Temper Tot, the baby Hulk
there
we were talking
is.
About.
Fucking shadowing on that thing is amazing.
Yeah, Ron English specializes in photorealism. Let's step over a little forward to the gate. Photorealism. Ron painted this the day before Hurricane Sandy hit here on the East Coast.
Really?
Yes, he had to get it done quick. He did it in under 9 hours.
What?
Yep, I shit you not.
Oh, I thought these things would take days and days.
Well, some of them do. Some of them do take days and days. I'll show you one in a second. But this one, because Ron really wanted to get this mural done because it was his only mural in New York City, and it's still his only mural in New York City with the exception of Bowery and Houston. But again, that's a wheat paste, not a mural. But this is his only paint on a wall. And
what's his name? Ron what?
Ron English.
Ron English
like the language.
So, does he make sellable art?
Absolutely. Ron is one of those guys whose canvases sell for hundreds of thousands of dollars.
So this sort of stuff increases his notoriety and his name.
Well, he gets visibility. He didn't need any more notoriety. Mm-hmm. Ron's one of those guys where, you know, like how there's some comedians out there that love to, like, they'll fuck around when they're on the road and they'll go to the open mic that's happening at the club just because they're in town.
Guys like
bored.
TJ Miller. Right. Where, like, go, it's like, oh, that seems like a cool, fun thing to do. And it's like,
Dana,
I'll do it.
Dana Gould is the same way. Dana Gould, when he would come into New York from L.A., he would come to Stamp New York's open mic because we ran a solid open mic. And he would come just to have fun and, like, to, you know, mingle with some of the young ones.
That's the art of it, too. That's the art of it. It's like, wow, it's a cool, that's fucking cool as shit.
Yeah, and you can see in the fray of the jeans there, of the torn jeans, you can see the boots of Italy. That's his little nod to little Italy.
So do they do that a lot? Give it up for the neighborhood, or like you said, for that.
These guys here. You can see that if you look there, you see Luna or Cha-Cha's in the corner where the fire hydrant is. The Cha-Cha's in the red there. That's because these two restaurants behind us, these two artists, when they were kids, Crashin' Days. There's Cha-Cha's and Luna. Crashin' Days were the kids that were the ones that started painting trains in the 70s in New York.
Really?
They're old school graffiti guys. The guys that did it all. And what we did, we wanted to do a tribute to the old school graffiti writers, and they did this great museum exhibition at the Museum of the City of New York called City as Canvas, and I coordinated with the museum and the curator of that art exhibition, and we did this tribute mural.
Damn, to those guys who started putting the graffiti on the cars.
Yep, and
I see the pieces of like graffiti type writing right next to the blue.
Right there with the arrows and that.
Yeah.
That's his name, D-A-Z-E.
That was the guy who started doing the graffiti?
Days and Crash.
And who did this?
Days on the left side, Crash on the right. And then you'll see Steiner's work right there with the dragon on the left there. Your good buddy Steiner. And these are eight artists painted this in 2 hours, the white, black and white mural. Four artists did the left, four artists did the right. And we do, for the anniversary party for Lisa Project, we open up the gate here, and we do a free food, free booze,
really?
DJ. And it's a big party. It's all free. Just come out and enjoy
it. When is the anniversary party?
The anniversary party is always the third weekend in October. We always do it the week before Hurricane Sandy in the event that it might make its way back. Yeah. So I always say superstition.
So now,
but Shepherd's Ferry piece, Shepherd did that wheat paste there. Yep.
So he did that for you?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Shepherd did a huge mural for us that's at Bowery and Broome Street.
And this is a, what's it called, right?
Wheat pasting, yep. That's Big Brother.
Stencils? No.
That's a stencil piece. That's absolutely a stencil piece, but except it was done onto paper, and then he put it was in two sections, and then he wheat pasted them up against the wall.
Shepherd Fairey, I like that Batman too.
Yeah,
Shepherd Fairey is one of the reasons I got into any sort of like street art, is seeing his project, that giant project, and going, what is this? What is this? Why is there this graffiti everywhere? And then doing a little more research about it. I'm like, oh. But that's why I love shit like this. It's just like you're walking down the street. And like, what's this baby Hulk?
What does this mean? What is it for?
Yeah.
And I tell people it doesn't mean anything. It's just for you there to enjoy it and like make fun of it, love it, take a picture, whatever you want.
You know what I heard Shepherd explain it once, which I liked? And he was like, you end up taking the same routes on the way to work every day.
Right.
You pass by warehouses and at some point you don't even see them.
Right.
And if you see some picture of Andre the Giant, a weird star.
Like, what?
You're like, what is that? And like, wait, what building is this on? What is this here?
Where am I? What's going on here?
It just makes you like actually observe your surroundings.
Well, it also makes you appreciate where you are even if you've been there for a long time.
Really?
Yep. Absolutely.
Who? Okay.
So in this yard here, we have.
How'd you get this yard?
Well, you know, luckily for me, there used to be a parking lot here, and they ended up, like everything else in New York, they raised the rent to a crazy number, and they moved out.
Afford it. Yeah.
So now the owners of the lot allow me to paint because there was again lots of vandalism. Now there's some good vandalism, like that blue in the back. That's actually vandalism. That is not a commissioned piece.
Blue on the back left.
The back left. Yeah.
Yeah. But that's a beautiful a nice piece. Kind,
yeah.
But the tagging, the single line tagging, the bubble, I'm okay with. But
right.
The single line, like the once
it's
over.
Like, it's whatever. Like whatever.
It seems kind of gross.
Like if you come this way, and you can see the one with the Yankee hat there, that's a great tag.
That's cool.
A great throw. That's a throw up. Technically, that's called a throw up. Both of those, the bubble letters and that, are called throw ups.
Why? What does that mean? What does that mean?
Well, throw ups mean that there's throw ups are a progression from a tag. So if you're a tagger, that means you're real raw and kind of new to the game.
If that shit was on a sub, that's like,
a throw
that's
up.
Beautiful.
Yeah, that's absolutely beautiful. Absolutely.
A throw up is a step above a tag.
Yes, essentially. Yeah. There's more intricacy to it. You have faster handwork, you know what you're doing.
Right.
You know what you're doing.
Faster handwork because you got to go quickly.
A lot of the stuff, I mean, it doesn't make any sense unless there's, this is their way of kind of fighting society where people who are voiceless can have a voice and in the form of graffiti.
What's it trying to say there?
Huh?
What's he trying to say there?
They want you to know who their name is. They want you to know who they are. Like, for example, they were there before.
Yeah.
So I created that. So that wall, we ended up having to buff it white because when I painted this, the owner said, can you cover up that graffiti? I said, sure, but they're going to come back. And while it was white, I had my anniversary party. So we had a bunch of kids that came to the party. So I created a spot where kids could draw. And then, of course, a bunch of the artists started tagging it up. When those guys saw that, they're like, oh, fuck that. This is our spot. They jump the fence at night. That's why it's bent.
Oh.
Because they're older and they're fat. and they put their tag up. And I like it. Like I said, I think it's a good job. And it's nice and clean to see it up close. And
yeah,
might
as
well go.
Yeah, it's tough to, like, tear down art.
just because you're like, I didn't say it should be there.
Oh, yeah. So no. Like, there has to be some discretion to it. You know, you don't just automatically assume. Just because, for example, just because Louis C.K. makes a joke about pedophiles doesn't mean he's sanctioning pedophiles. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
You got to have an open mind and be smart. Let's go this way. Let's cut over. And I'll show you one, a large mural we did, which, again, falls in the same vein of something that's for the neighborhood that represents a historical aspect.
Well, I saw that alphabet. That was Steiner, right?
Steiner was one of the artists on that.
And he put that on Alphabet City, and it's like an alphabet in Alphabet City.
Alphabet City, correct.
He gave a specific, like, props to, like, the street names, Loisaida or whatever.
They thought it would be fun. It would be something great for kids, too, because there's so many schools around that area.
Yeah.
And I know the people that coordinate that mural, Green Villain, rather. He does a great job. But this is another piece by the guy who did the Audrey Hepburn.
You can see the similarities.
You can absolutely see it. And so we have him bookending the collection that's on the Mulberry Street collection of murals, because the Lisa Project encompasses all Lower Manhattan now. So if you see a cool mural, odds are we did it or we had something to do with it. But the Statue of Liberty here, the gray areas represent Lady Liberty and who she is.
Yeah.
And the color areas kind of represent who we are as a culture now. You'll see the Dunkin' Donuts logo there to the right. You'll see the Chanel logos below it. TMZ there in the pink and the maroon. And it kind of pokes a little fun at who we are as a culture. But if you look at the very bottom of it, you see the word victory and part of the word freedom.
Yeah.
It says free, but it should be freedom. And the reason that's there is because on this side here, we have our war memorial, where represents all the folks that have given their lives the ultimate sacrifice from World War I all the way to the
Afghan. From this neighborhood?
Yep. These are all people that lived on Mulberry Street.
Wow.
These are all people that lived on Mulberry Street in Little Italy.
Who died in battle,
yep.
World War I, World War II, Vietnam, Afghanistan, Iraq War. Wow.
Korean War, the Gulf War, all of it. The Gulf War was the least, as you could see.
Yeah. Yeah, these guys are all kind of old. They're not getting drafted. Damn.
But yeah, so part of my job is maintaining this. So every year we have it touched up.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Who made this?
This was done by an Italian artist, Lorena. Her name's right down there.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to attempt to even try to say her Italian last name. But she's a great lady. We did this in this was done before I arrived in Little Italy in 2011. But starting in 2012, it became my job to maintain it. They want to redo it, but some of it, you know, because it's starting to flake real bad.
Yeah.
But I think we got another year out of it. And then we'll do something.
It's gotten so old that, like, you know, you see the antiquities in other countries where it's like, yeah, it's not nearly as good as when it was new, but, like, it's still there.
Well, there's a certain, and there's also,
shows
like,
shows its age.
Right. There's something kind of gnarly, something kind of cool about artwork and things that kind of get weathered and gnarly looking. Mm-hmm. Even, like, you know, like cool old houses, or when you see, like, a tree that's dead and the branches have all kind of twisted and turned over the years.
Yeah, it's still cool.
Yeah.
I dated an artist, and her side jobs was to restore shit.
Yeah.
She had to get the exact colors down, like really mix paints and figure out, do research on, like, what's this exact right color.
Oh, absolutely. And the thing about it is that
it's not just blue.
There's so many different degrees of blue. It's a thankless job that people do restoration work, because it's ultimately whatever they're restoring, that artist gets all the credit. So
yeah.
There's a certain art form in your girlfriend being able to restore them, or one of your exes, I guess.
Exes.
Yep.
One of the good ones.
But you can see there, like, below where the nameplate is, that we had donuts. Because this was quite an endeavor. This mural cost $15,000.
$15,000 in what? Paint?
$15,000 for paint, the boom lift, insurance, all the
insurance.
The things. Yeah, if they fall off the lift, somebody's got
to
pay for that.
Oh, you got to get a lift to come down.
Oh, sure, 65-footer. That's a 4-story mural there.
1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah,
yeah,
damn.
4-story mural, and so people will, like, put up. That's a stencil artist there that put up his work.
On
the bottom right, because he knew people would be taking pictures of it.
To glom on.
Yeah, but I don't understand. Like, look at that stencil. Like, what a waste of time.
Yeah.
He's putting emojis there. That's a hook in the okay sign. Like, who cares? What does it mean?
You know? Yeah, who cares? No one's going to be like, hey, man, I saw your stuff on. So how do stickers play into all this?
Well, sticker art is a whole different ball of wax. We'll actually, to go talk a little about sticker art, let's actually look at some. We'll go back by the old Temper Tot.
Okay.
And we'll show you. Sticker art is... When putting up your artwork became, like, certain areas are impossible. Like, you just don't have enough time to be able to even put a tag, even to put your initials.
Right.
So stickers came into play. especially for artists that were kids that were products of the late 60s, early 70s, when stickers became really cool, and you know, you used to get a sticker on your spelling test, a scratch and sniff or whatever.
Yeah. I give out free stickers when you buy merch on my site.
Oh, they love it, and people love it. They love them.
Like, right,
and that's great for you because your name's on it, and most people are going to unstick it, and put it in. Some people put it into a drawer and save it forever.
Some people do that. I've done that in the past, and it's like, what am I doing with this? Just now, right now, I moved. I'm like, I got to get all my stickers out and fucking stick them on my fridge.
Yeah, that would be you saw my fridge, so it's covered in. But this, for example, this is an artist by the name of Owen Dippy, and he's a graffiti artist, and he really wants to paint on Mulberry Street, and we're trying to figure out a project that will make sense for him to paint here. But this is his way, because he knows I check my murals on a regular basis.
Yeah.
He wants me to know that he was here. And sure enough, I know that Owen Dippy and his lovely wife came through here, and as any number of other artists, and put that there. Yep.
So now you're like, all right, man, I'm getting your message.
Right. This is ours. Like ASVP did a great version of this. Actually, that's another one. That's a different artist. No, I thought that was ASVP. Yeah. So that would be.
Gasp. Is that what it says?
GASP. Yeah. Gasp. I'll have to look him up. And there's always something new. There's always something new going on.
So there is that. So people who are in the know can get enough clues to be like, let me look up who you are and what the story is.
Right. I mean, that's what I do half the time is I'll take pictures. Now with social media, I can put a picture on social media and ask like, hey, guys, who is this? And they'll, you know, people will tell me.
People tell you who it is.
Yeah.
And you'll just get it instantly that way.
Right.
That's what you do with drugs, too.
That's right.
A random pill. I just put a picture of it on Twitter and people are like, no, it's not Vicodin. It's whatever this
is. It's ibuprofen. Like, oh. That's what Jay Okerson, our good friend Jay Okerson, I'm like, dude, I threw out my back. I need some serious painkillers. And as Christine comes by, she's like, here's a couple of Vicodin someone gave me. And I took one. I'm like, this didn't do anything. And I look it up, and same thing I put on Instagram. I'm like, can somebody tell me this? Oh, dude, those are just 800 milligram prescription ibuprofen. I'm like, oh, boo.
I had a doctor prescribe me that once. I was like, come on, man, I'm not faking.
Yeah.
Give me the real shit,
please.
Give me
something that's right. Even if it's just a couple.
Yeah.
You know, I get it. I understand you don't want me to party with them, but.
I had a dentist tell me, he was like, you might need this after my wisdom tooth came out. He goes, you might need Vicodin, but if you're not, you're a comic, right? You have friends that would want it.
Right,
yes, I do, man. Yeah. For sure, I do.
That's a great dentist.
Yeah.
I share his number with me. But the thing about the cool thing about the art project, since it's a nonprofit, we've gotten so much support from the city. They actually took note of what we were doing. So now they've given me the support and the connections towards sponsorship so that we're creating the Lower Manhattan Art Festival. So now
really?
I can, so now when I do things outside of Mulberry Street, I can do that during the festival and create an opportunity, just like Montreal's Just for Laughs. I'm creating an opportunity of bringing artists together, to bring the community together. I'm involving other projects that do things in the city so we can all come together and hang out.
Do they like end up talking to each other and talk about technique?
Dude, the key is you got to have parties. You got to have I have an opening party and a closing party so everybody can come together, get drunk, take pictures, have fun.
Yeah.
Also, too, it's a great.
Yeah, dude, me and Bargatze and Bill Burr were all talking at South By.
Right, yeah.
And he was telling us about his theories on comedy, and me and Nate were just kind of like listening and shit.
And when was the last time you saw all of each other? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, never in the same room. And this is all centered around. The free drinks.
Right.
We get to have free whiskey and sit there. Otherwise, we wouldn't be there.
That's actually the point. That's the point. Like, listen, if people are good enough, because what I try to remember is that people aren't coming here, the artists aren't coming here because they have a love affair with Wayne Rada or with Little Italy for that matter, but they're coming here because they want to be included with all these other amazing artists. To expand on that, I'm like, well, I started having artists that would like, oh, so-and-so's painting. They'd come and visit and see what's going on. And I thought, wouldn't it be cool? Because Montreal was my favorite, man. When I was really in my heyday, I was going to Montreal between 2006 and 2011, five years in a row.
I think it overlapped with you the first time I was there.
I remember. I remember seeing you. I remember seeing Jim Jefferies doing a midnight show before he became the megastar that he was. And so anyway, towards that aim, I'm trying to create that environment here. The New York Comedy Festival is a great festival, but it doesn't quite capture what Montreal and what Robbie and Bruce are able to do.
It's been years, though. It's been decades.
Yeah.
They've been able to do that.
Right.
You got to build it up, but yeah.
Right. But I think, though, they've really created, like, by having everyone in the same hotel. Do you know what I mean? By keeping every, with the exception of the new faces, of course.
Sure. Yeah. But, so lame. Yeah. And they're like, we're doing that to keep them a secret. I'm like, no, you're not. You're doing it to save money, you assholes.
Yeah, about it. Absolutely.
You know, just be honest.
Absolutely.
Just be honest.
If you want to go chill here for a second. Because that kind of gives you an overview of what it's about. But aside from the last, what we saw, 8, 9, there are another 38, right?
All around Little Italy.
All around Little Italy. All around Little Italy here. You want to just chill here? I know it looks dirty, but it's not too dirty.
No, it's okay. I'm filthy myself.
And this is the vibe, dude. And this is it. Imagine when you with your lady or with some buddies drinking some beers, pulling out, you know, having some, you know, vaping out, you know, a little bit, and just
kind of. Is it fun? Is there like a lot of like alcohol and drug use while the paintings are going up?
Well, there's a lot of drinking and smoking. And we don't. The merchants don't have any problem with it. They don't have any beefs about it at all, because the idea is. You know, if the artists aren't going to donate their time, they at least they can feel the way they want to feel and be comfortable and happy.
That's why they lower the...
Now, we're not cutting out rails, don't get me wrong. You know what I mean? Right. It's not like any kind of hardcore use. But we, like, Little Italy is not what, you know, people have a TV perception of what Little Italy is with mob guys and all that stuff. And that was true. But now that shit's all over, dude.
It's
all those guys
done.
Are
become commodified here.
They're old or dead. I mean, and the guys are like in their 80s and now they're grandfathers, you know.
Yeah, so, they don't want to fight and shit.
Yep.
When you so are there people that'll commission things like this around the city or around the world?
Oh yeah. So what I've been able to do is, aside from doing the events for Little Italy, is that, and the merchants are cool with me about this, is that I end up getting hired as project manager to work with any number of brands, like Guess, NBC. I'm doing a project for right now for their show on USA Network called Mr. Robot.
Okay, so now explain to me this. I'm interested in how the money comes in and goes and funnels to the artists and stuff. So, like, NBC says, okay, one cool thing we want to do is something with art to promote this thing. And they find a guy, and that happens to be you.
Right.
Somebody's like, "Well, you should talk to my friend Wayne."
It's all word of mouth. It's like getting a booking or whatever.
By the way, I love this guy who has this high school student has got a weed hat that his teacher definitely doesn't understand know about. But okay, so NBC says, "Okay, here we got this." What do they say? Like, what's your budget?
Well, for example,
like, how do you do it?
The project that we're doing it's top secret, but it's not so tight. It's going to be done this weekend, so it doesn't matter. But
this will be out later than that.
Yeah.
Okay.
So NBC has a show coming out in a couple of weeks called Mr. Robot. It's produced by NBC, but it's on the USA Network. They own that property as well.
Yeah.
So they were looking for a way. They wanted to do something that was grassroots, kind of cool and trendy and hip, and so street art keeps coming up over and over. So the artists, I'm well known in the art community, and they recommended me, and they're like, "Hey, what can we do? We have this much money."
Who recommended you?
An artist by the name of Logan Hicks.
Okay.
And he's the guy. He's a stencil artist, and he created the imagery for the show. It's a show about computer hackers and stuff like that.
Okay.
So he has this image of a kid in a hoodie, and it's his body. Like, it looks like a kid who'd be standing in the doorway up to no good is what it looks like. So I suggested to him, I'm like, "Wouldn't it be cool if you put this particular..."
That's a photo still?
I'll show you the picture of it later.
Okay.
But it looks like a kid who's like looking at his phone, who's wearing a hoodie. And it reminded me of like people standing in doorways, like if it was raining out and they want to get out of the rain and they're checking their phone. I said, "Wouldn't it be cool if we paint some 20 doors all throughout Lower Manhattan around some of the cooler areas, NYU and, you know, Little Italy, Soho, Lower East Side, all the kind of hip by the trendy bars, and if we just put this image of this guy with a hoodie and just put the hashtag Mr. Robot, just Mr. Robot and the cool art image." I said, "If you do anything more than that, people are going to, like, New Yorkers, not graffiti artists, mind you, but New Yorkers in general are like, fuck you, make me look at another billboard, and they'll spray paint over it. But if you put a creative piece of art up and just put a simple hashtag, that will encourage people to seek it out and find it. Like, what is this Mr. Robot? What is this about?"
Mm-hmm. Well, the viral marketing they were doing for a while, if in the beginning of it, it was like when you have a billboard, it just says, like, "Who is John Smith?" or something like that, you know? And you'd be like, "Whoa, what is this?" You know, all black bill with little white writing.
Right.
Then it started getting more and more used, where you're like, it's viral marketing.
It got burned, right.
Yeah.
It got burned. The key, and the great thing about it is that there's only so many versions. We really are on the streets of Mulberry Street here. But the thing about it is like, by changing the imagery up is what key is. We did a mural for Guess, for example.
Yeah, you told me about that one. So
right.
Go ahead.
And they wanted to put the logo was being incorporated. And I said, "Guys, if you just put the image of the model's face with a triangle around it," it was a concept that was created actually by the artist, Trisden Eaton, by him. I promise you, people will take note of it. The right people will take note of it. The people that want to buy your product, while everyone else will just think that, wow, what a beautiful kick-ass mural this is.
By the way, those people that will understand it, they're like, "Oh, this is a piece of Trisden Eaton, and
right.
I can see the guest in there."
Yep.
Those people that know that are the tastemakers.
Right.
If those people wear Guess, then 7,000 people under them will all wear Guess.
Then
and they don't know why.
That's right. That's right. That's exactly it. And it's not
in
your face.
That's why people give out free clothes to, like, celebrities.
That's right.
Like,
right. Yeah.
Snoop is wearing,
cool sneakers.
Alexander Julian or something like that everybody's like, I want to be like him.
John Varvatos Converse shoes.
He was a big one. He put them on every celebrity he could.
Yep, and I saw that. And I bought these shoes.
You can't even stop yourself. You're just like, I don't know why, man. These Varvatos shoes are cool.
Well, they're badass. They are. And I get nothing but compliments. But that's the way I'm doing it. Because that's the way advertisement shouldn't be. You shouldn't have to get hit in the head with a hammer.
It's annoying after a while.
Yeah.
Have you ever been to LA to Sunset?
Oh, God, dude.
It's so in your face. It's like, God, it's gross.
Everywhere. And
Vegas
is
all ads everywhere. It's like, where's the classic Vegas? Why am I being barraged?
And that's just it, Ari, like you had said before. And then after a while, you become so numb to it, it becomes invisible to
you.
You
don't see it.
And the whole point of being an advertiser doesn't matter. Just like with advertisers, people that do creative commercials, when do you ever hear people saying, like, hey, I'm going to watch a sitcom for the commercials, but for the Super Bowl. Hey, I'm going to watch it for the commercials. If people were
because
would be
it's
more
consistently creative commercials in that Super Bowl.
That's right, and those creative commercials.
Cool,
if you see something cool or something catchy, funny, whatever, on a regular TV show, I promise you, all the DVR viewers will stop and want to see, like, what the hell was that?
Yeah.
While you show me another Coca-Cola or McDonald's commercial of people saying, "I love it," you know, I'll try to get
out of here.
Fast forward times four, so. So that's what I try to do. I try to find a balance between art and commerce, just like yourself. You try to find a balance between art and commerce.
Yeah.
What can't I say on this television show?
Yeah. Some people are like, we want to sponsor your Twitter.
Right.
If you give us a sponsored tweet, we'll give you this much money. And I'm like, oh no, you can't ever sponsor any tweets.
Right.
And people are like, why not? You sponsor this? I'm like, yeah, because it doesn't go on Twitter.
Right.
People see through it and they get angry at it.
Right.
But on a TV show, if you have a sitcom and you have an ad in the middle, people are like, yeah, we expect this.
We expect to see that. Right.
Yeah.
And people have an opportunity now to where if they don't want to watch those commercials, they can record that show and watch it. An hour
right
later
over,
or a day later and go past
torrents
it.
Them, it just goes fades to black, fade back in instantly.
Right.
There's no like...
While the network still gets the credit for people watching the show.
Yeah.
You know, because people are still engaged in the show. You know, which is great for the talent. That, and also,
and
too...
And then you do product placement, which is like, okay, fine, do it. Have James Bond drinking a Coca-Cola. Don't like have him go, delicious and refreshing.
Right. But don't like, say the catch line. Right.
Yeah.
Right, because there is that balance, but people, like anything else, people get lazy over the years. But now... Even though we're too hypersensitive of culture, I feel, people are getting smarter and more clever about doing things.
I mean, if it's a reason to make some sort of interesting art exist, then it's almost like guests just gave money to the arts.
Right. It just did a
you
great
know,
thing.
NBC just gave money to the arts.
Right. There is that perception because you could have done this. You could have just put up another shitty billboard, which they will.
Mm-hmm.
Which they will, and that's okay too.
Yeah.
You know, it'll be on the side of buses and on top of taxi cabs
or
whatever.
They'll continue to do that.
Right.
Yeah, sure.
But in the meantime, though.
People.
But they'll get a little bit of street cred.
Yeah.
You know, and also too, like you said, they're going to get the right people to watch their show, and those people are going to tell their friends, go on Facebook, go on Instagram, and say how much they love whatever.
Yeah.
And that will help build. And I guess what I'm trying to say, Ari, is that it all matters. It's all little slices of the pie.
Do you remember the Galifianakis and Tim and Eric? I believe it was Stoli or Absolute. It was Absolute.
Yeah, Absolute. That did the edge. Yeah.
And they were like, they gave us whatever money we wanted to make this.
Right.
And they say, just use Absolute in some way.
Right.
And then it's all on you. And they made the most ridiculous Tim and Eric and Zach meeting.
Right.
And honestly, when I think of those, I don't think of the vodka. I just think of a hilarious sketch they were in.
Right.
Where they're drinking on a beach in old-timey like bathing suits and
but
shit.
Because they did that, though... You remember the product, though. That's the key.
Like, thank you, Absolute, for sponsoring this rad piece of comedy.
Right. And then next time you order, you buy vodka for a party or you order a drink or whatever, maybe you'll say Absolute, maybe you won't. But that's a chance worth taking because there are people who are going to.
Right.
There are always going to be people who are going to drink the Kool-Aid 100%. But there are those other people who are a little more discerning. And those are the people that I try to reach.
Right.
And it doesn't matter how rich they are. It's not about economics. It's not about if you're a guy making a living check to check or if you're a millionaire.
You ever read The Fountainhead?
If you have if you have a discerning taste. What was that?
You ever read The Fountainhead?
I do not read The Fountainhead,
There's this character on there, Ellsworth Toohey, and he's not rich, but everyone wants his opinion and wants him to like them.
Right, yeah.
And so all these architects and these people that always treat him to fine dinners and like trying to get on his side, and he can't be bought.
Right, nice.
But like... Everyone trusts his opinion.
Right.
And it's like, it doesn't matter about money. It doesn't matter how rich he is.
That's the funny thing. That's with the Lisa Project. I have turned down more projects than I've accepted, and I would be much better off financially. But the long road...
It ain't about that.
Right. The long road, man. It's about the long term and how people... Listen, as a guy who doesn't have a lot of money myself, I make a living, but I don't have a bunch of money. The one thing you could always count on is being a man of your word and having credibility. and being relevant. Yeah. That's far more important to me than having an extra zero or two at the end of my bank account.
What do you want to be? You want to be Spike Lee, who did a couple good movies, and now he just does garbage left and right? Right. Or you want to be Quentin Tarantino, who only has five movies to his name, six right. movies to his name,
right.
but they're all classics.
They're all amazing. They're all amazing. And they all have, I don't know, Django still is a charming movie to me, man.
No, I
still,
love Django.
You know, I still think that that's a great movie. What Spike Lee, and I have buddies who work for Spike as producers. I can't tell you his last movie, and I know he's released a bunch.
Years.
You know, I could tell you
25 Hours, okay.
She's Gotta Have It. Doing the one with Malcolm X.
Yeah.
What was the one with Danny Aiello? Danny Aiello and
The Heat in the City.
The Heat in the City,
during
right?
The Heat Wave. What's her name for the first time? There was
a white Rosie
man.
Perez.
Yeah,
Rosie
Perez. Like, God, who's this new girl?
Right. And so again, like, I don't remember the name off the top of my head, but I remember that movie.
Damn, what was that movie?
I know that right now there are a bunch of people listening to this podcast screaming the name. And thank you for doing that. But the point being, though, is that it's quality.
The Ice Cube, remember they had that Ice Cube and he's rubbing it all over her nips and shit?
Yeah, absolutely, dude. So it's quality
versus quantity. Do the right
thing. Do the right thing. Yeah. Boom. But again, that quality versus quantity kind of deal. And Quentin Tarantino exemplifies that.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, where, so you do turn down. Do you ever turn down artists? So you're like, I'm just not sitting and you could get more money out of it.
Oh, yeah. No, I've had artists, people offer to pay me money. They'll give me $5,000. I was offered $10,000 once to do a mural. Just let me paint a mural. Like, you can paint over it after, because I'm doing an art gallery exhibition. I'm like, but dude, all of your art's going to sell anyway. You don't need to do a mural, but I just want to be here. I'm like, then come up with a great idea that gets me excited and we'll do it.
Right.
And you don't have to give me any money. You can keep all your money.
You know?
And they don't ever call back. They don't ever email again. And you know, and those people think I'm dicks. People talk shit about me just like anything else. Just like when I was booking the stage, you know, at Stand Up New York or CB's Comedy Club.
Is it similar?
You know, it's exactly. Oh, dude, a wall versus a stage. Again, I'm keeping my index finger and thumb about a quarter of an inch apart. The difference there is none.
I mean, egos are egos. Everybody thinks they're the best comic in the world.
Right.
You know?
And the thing about it is like, I have a vision for this. Like, I had a vision for the stage. My stage at Stand Up New York involved comedians that were irreverent. I worked with you when you had a big fro.
You were the only one. I got you at Katz's room first, and then when you went to Stand Up New York, you were like, make this your home when you're in LA, when you're in New York, man.
Yeah, Ramsey said, Ari's coming into town, and I go, boom. No, because again, you had a strong personal point of view, man. You know, and you've always had conviction. You know, you've always cared about
really
what you're saying.
Way easier to come here every like year and a half or so, and like spend like knowing I'm going to get a couple spots to Stand Up New York because of Wayne,
and a weekend spot,
and
something on the weekend, which would be not just Monday and Tuesdays, you know, but it's something on the weekend as well.
Jay was one of your shows you put me on, and he did After the Check spot, and I was like, whoa, who's this guy?
Patrice loved it when, God rest his soul, but Patrice, who's a guy who's like, I'll do the 8 o'clock or the 10 o'clock, but I'm bailing because I'm not staying for those animals at 12. And he had so much fun. I go, Patrice, give me a chance. I promise you the midnight shows are going to be just as good as the 10 o'clock as the 8 o'clock. And sure enough, they were. And he helped, and because he believed in me and he saw the vision, he helped me build those midnight shows to where we'd have six weekend shows sold out. And I would do something that was crazy. I would have the exact same lineup on all six shows so that the comedians, again, create an environment where all the comics could hang out together, talk, eat, drink, have fun, you know, try to hit on girls. You know, be crazy, be silly, be irreverent. Tracy Morgan, and then everybody came back to me. I didn't have to reach out to anyone. Jerry Seinfeld and Robin Williams would come into that club, and I'd be like, hey, guys, how are you? Hey, Wayne, how are you? And I'd go back to my, I'd be sitting at the bar doing work or whatever, and then they'd be waiting for me.
You'd be downstairs trying to fuck some boy.
Or trying to, you know, do drugs. Yeah. I would never offer the stage to them. And finally, because I knew at the minute I said, like, hey, guys, why don't you get up there and give them a thrill? They'd be like,
get away from it.
But I just let the audience do the work, and they would come to, they say, hey, you mind if I get up there and do 10? Which would be 40 minutes, especially Robin. But again, though, they would want to, but then they would engage me, and they'd say, hey, do you mind if I get up there? I'm like, absolutely not. Go up there and have a great time. And I would, you know, pay the comic, and this was the one difference. If a comic got bumped, he got paid.
Cool.
You could chill.
Cool.
Or you could take off and try to grab a set someplace else.
The Stand is doing that now where they'll book people for 2-3 shows in a row, and it really doesn't create that same environment you're talking about where it's
absolutely.
Like, we're all going to chill here. Pete Lee, and like, you become friends with people by like, well, now we got nothing to do for an hour and 45 minutes.
Right. Watch the show.
DePaulo I've become friends with.
Right. Yep.
You know, it's like, there's just cool environments set up. Thanks.
That was it.
Wait, what was I just going to say? Fuck weed. Ruins my memory. Oh, I know. At the store, as soon as they see someone like Chris Rock come in, just what they all run up. Like, do you want to go on? I'm like, guys, would you let some of our comics go? You know he's going to do an hour.
Yeah.
Let some people go up first. If he wants to go on, he'll ask.
And by the way, it's okay if Chris Rock doesn't go on, because you know what? Why don't you develop your comedians and make more Chris Rocks, and then they'll love you and they'll come back to you.
You got
to
reforest.
Yeah, that's right. That's exact. I mean, that's exact. Listen, Jay Oakerson doesn't hang out with me because he thinks that at some point I'm going to have another stage, give him more stage time. We had a chance to hang out and become real friends.
Yeah.
And now he support as much as he supported me in the comedy world, he supports me in the art world now.
Yeah, make great shit. You know? Who doesn't want to be involved in helping someone make great shit?
Absolutely, dude. Absolutely. I watched the genesis of his career. I watched the genesis of your career. And by the way, if people like to think of like, oh, there isn't life after comedy, there is. And by the, and I would encourage anybody who's out of the comedy world, if you're listening to this podcast, listen to all the podcasts. Listen to all the friends or acquaintances that you used to have, because you can know exactly what they're doing now and keep up with their lives and all that kind of good stuff. Now more than ever, you could still be connected to people that you love and enjoy through the work that they're doing, especially the podcasts.
Yeah, you can definitely get to know them.
Yep. Absolutely.
That's probably the way I talk to my parents the most.
Yeah, right.
Just listen on this. Right. And I'm like, all right.
That's you know key, man. It really is.
That's kind of one of the reasons I got off Twitter, because every time I would start talking about something like, oh, I went to a concert today, people are like, yeah, I know.
Yeah, right.
I saw your Twitter. No, like, I went skiing, like, yeah, I know. Like,
we follow your feed. We follow your feed.
Yeah.
That's what people say to me. We follow your feed.
We follow your feed.
We follow your feed. That's why I just I don't do any of that stuff now. I have a Lisa Project stuff. So yeah. Yes. So on Instagram, the Lisa Project NYC, and all the other stuff on Facebook and Twitter and blah blah blah.
Instagram has that's perfect for art.
Oh, dude, it's the best, dude. Because not only can I put the art up and people can enjoy it, but also I can credit the artist. They can click and see who the artist is. The artist gets credit. Everybody shares in it. Even when I put up for the barbecue, when you came to the barbecue for Memorial Day, I put up this wonderful, you know, class photo of all of us together at this awesome barbecue. I was able to tag everybody in the photo, and then if people wanted to know who Ari Shaffir was or who Zach Amico was, didn't matter. Or everybody knows who Dave Attell is.
But he didn't want to be in the picture so bad. Yeah. He hates pictures so bad. He was like, "Come on, Dave. It's like, Dave, just get in the fucking picture,
just
man.
Stand
it's all
there
of us.
And stand there, take it, and
eat it.
And then, and so many artists, my fans who are all art world fans, who doesn't love to laugh? Now we're. I can promise you that, you know, that maybe you only got 5 or 6, but yeah, you got new followers on Twitter based on stuff, because I put everything on all the platforms that people start felt like, oh, this comedian's hilarious. Now you're not Twitter, I guess, but. Jay,
well, a little bit. I just don't. Yeah, check as
well,
much.
Gomez got some stuff. He got some good feedback on it.
Oh, really?
But and vice versa, you know, and the comics do it for me, you know, in podcast like this right now. All right, you're doing me a solid to talk about my non-profit.
Yeah, well, I want to talk about this thing too that you're doing in August. What is that?
So the Lower Manhattan Art Festival here, it's August the 5th through the 9th. What made
thank you for noticing that. I do like to help people in any way. Like, come on, let's fucking move forward. Let's do great
shit. Share something that's good.
Yeah.
Absolutely, because there's so much shit out there. You know, it's hard to find. You got to navigate through all the shit to get to the good
and
stuff.
And you've seen it too, where it's like, that guy, they all suck.
Right.
Why are they the big ones? And this guy's starving to death, and he's amazing.
Like, well, follow that guy. Go to his show. Call your local comedy club and say, why isn't Ari Shaffir at my club headlining this weekend?
Right.
You know, if you think this guy's funny, pick up the phone and do something, because bookers and comedy club owners will listen. Man. They will listen.
I'm trying right now, because I'm booking the second season of the Storyteller Show I did.
Yeah.
And,
which is brilliant.
Thank you.
I've never seen Jay Oakerson sweat so much on television.
It was
awesome.
A heat wave. Keep in mind, it was a heat wave.
No,
it was like 95 degrees that day.
Yep, absolutely.
But yeah, he was like, I was asking him about editing. He was like, just pan away from the close-ups. I'm a fucking pig.
What?
But I asked my fans. I was like, hey, if you know a great comic, best comics in the world, reach out. Tweet at him.
Yeah.
Tell them they want them to do my show.
Yeah.
And if they get 75 tweets,
right,
then they're probably going to be like, wait, what is this thing?
What is this
Let
show?
Me look into
What's
it.
Going on? Right.
Yeah,
that's
no
exactly
one's susceptible to that.
That was like with the city. All of a sudden, a bunch of city employees were following my Instagram feed, and there was a girl
city
that...
City employees.
So the city of New York has this... Their tourism arm is called NYC & Company.
Yeah.
And I had worked with them for the comedy festival, and I got to know some of them when we were doing the art. So they started following the Instagram, because we had established an Instagram. One day... The big bosses there, the VPs of marketing and the VPs of this and that, they're like, hey, have you ever heard of this Lisa Project? And the woman's like, have I heard of it? And she turns her laptop around, and she's on the website.
Boom. Wow.
And they're like going like, yeah, well, there's no visual arts program for New York, and we thought we'd reach out to them. They reach out to us. Hey, do you guys want to create an art festival? I said, as a matter of fact, I've been toying with this idea, because I've lived downtown now in Lower Manhattan for the last 16 years. I've been down.
Holy shit, isn't
it? It's the place to be, man. CBGB's, Max Fish, all the ghosts of Keith Haring, Basquiat, Madonna. Keith Haring would live down here. Basquiat lived down here. Madonna,
and
Andy
this was
Warhol.
When Madonna was legit, when Madonna was making
when she had street cred,
and stuff.
When she had street cred, she was down here. And
I remember that, Madonna.
And about that, now it's all gone now, because it's so expensive to live down here. You have to, like, you either have to have your family support you, or you have to work for the financial district. So all those cool, grungy little things where... Madonna could rent an apartment for $300 a month. Keith Haring, as an artist, could have a roommate where they could split $300. Right, all the junk. Oh, the Ramones. Shit, CBGB's on Bowery. The Talking Heads used to live right across the street in a rat-infested apartment, which is now a fancy restaurant, which is now a highbrow, fancy, hoity-toity restaurant.
Remember that Social D song where it was like where the pool hall used to play in is now a 7-Eleven or something like that?
That's just that says it all.
Yeah.
So we can't, we're never going back to that. But what I can do is I can create a festival that gives a nod to that. So we're going to do cool music, cool art, cool parties, just a couple. I'm starting very humbly because I don't want to fuck it up. I want to start on a humble level so it's a cool thing and I can slowly develop it and have it grow larger and larger and larger.
How are you going to do it? How are you going
to
do it?
Well, it's going to be, so 21 neighborhoods make up Lower Manhattan. My goal is to put up 21 murals, put up some schools. The idea is for us just to celebrate art and just have a good time. It's all free. All the programming is free. We're doing panel discussions about art and how to get into art if you're into it.
I hit pause by
The Low Man, the lowmanartfestival.org.
Low Man Art Festival.
The Low Man Art Fest. Lowmanartfest.org. If you go to lisaproject.nyc.org, there's a link there too.
There.
Yep.
Are you going to have like suggestion anyway? Wherever, like if this is right here, be like. And by the way, across the street, there's a Sulamaria Pizzeria that's like known as.
No.
You're not going to have anything like, as you're here, there's some stuff to see.
No, listen. People, if people are inspired, I feel that it's my, like, if you notice on most of the murals, you don't, on all of them, you don't see lisaprojectnyc.org, you don't see a Twitter handle. Which one?
The one that's in the what's it called?
Oh, in the lot. Yeah, where it says the Lisa Project. Yeah, Crash did that because he loves us.
Okay.
But normally,
I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah, it would bum me out, and he did that as an FU to me because I love Lisa Project so much. I want to put it in my mural. I can do that if I want to. And but there's two murals total that have Lisa Project. That one, there's one other. And but as far as I'm concerned, I think it's our job to connect our work to our project with the social media. I feel that we can get out there, and social media is not hard to navigate, not hard to check hashtags. Now, we don't catch every single one. Some things get lost in the shuffle, absolutely. But for me, it's art for the sake of art.
If you see one, you'll go and like say, like, let me talk
about it. Well, no, we'll go like, oh, this is a part of the Lisa Project. You should check us out. And people will, now that you can edit Instagram and stuff, people will end up putting the hashtag in, or they'll put in the
at Lisa Project?
At the Lisa Project NYC. Because unfortunately, the reason I say for Instagram, it's at the Lisa Project NYC, while the website is LisaProjectNYC.org. There is a Lisa Project in California, which is for child abuse. So I insist that people put in the Lisa Project NYC for the social media, because it's a shame when you go through their hashtag, you see all these
what
discussions.
A downer.
Right, because all of a sudden it's like like pictures of like sad kid faces, and all of a sudden there's a happy mural. But they're very cool. I've spoken to one person there, and they don't have any hang-ups or problems about it. As a matter of fact, my dream is to, once we get a little more where we were able to raise real money, I want to do a fundraiser for them, because what they do is a very noble endeavor as well. But for what we do, I feel that it's our job to really kind of get the word out. And to talk to donors, to talk to corporate sponsors.
Is there a lot of that? We're finding rich people to be like, I need your money.
I do find, yes. I'm like any other charity thing, where part of my time is about shaking hands and greasing palms with love. Dude, I got some game in regards to, listen, the Low Man Art Festival, we have one corporate sponsor, and the rest of it's all funded by donors. Yeah. Some almost $100,000 worth of funding.
Wow.
Yeah, and some of it's $5 donations, some of it's, $50,000 donations. It's all relevant, it all matters.
My ex-girlfriend, Ashley, that artist, she was like, art exists because rich people want to have art.
Right. That's the only reason
it exists. Like,
that's correct. But then that's for rich artists, like the Damien Hirsts of the world, or your Warhols and that such.
Yeah.
But you know what? There are a lot of
semi-rich people who have $5,000 and not $500,000. They'll buy shit too.
Listen, wherever you live, if you're listening to this podcast, wherever you live, I promise there is a small art community, and it may only be two or three people. Support your local artists. If you see something cool
in
a flea market,
stuff,
absolutely, sure. There's cool shit. Listen, there's a lot of bad shit out there, but there's a lot of bad shit
and
everywhere.
Cheap and accessible and like there.
But there's good stuff out there that's inexpensive. That you can go and find. Absolutely. My art collection, do I have a couple of Banksy pieces? He's a big deal guy. Absolutely. But I also have pieces of art that I found on the street that I put on my wall.
Really?
Sure. Listen, if I love it, I love it.
I'm just getting over this now where I'm just getting past the point of like, why am I supposed to like this? To now it's like, I like it.
Right.
I don't have to say why or what it's doing or who this guy is.
It doesn't have to justify it. Yeah,
I like what it does to me.
The biggest disappointment I have is whenever I show people my art collection, they'll go like, "Oh, I see you got a few names on the wall there," and I'm like, "Yeah, that's great, but you know, what do you like?"
That's the bottom right corner, man. Yeah, look at the rest of the fucking
what
piece.
What do you like? Yeah, tell me what you like. And those are phonies. Those are fakes and phonies, and those are people that I catch. So and then I don't do, you know, I don't, they don't, they're not invited to my home anymore, or they're not a part of my party, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So tell me about Banksy. Tell me about what he means to you and what he means to artists in general, because I think there's a pushback on him.
Mm-hmm. Of
and
course.
There's also like a reverence towards him.
Whenever you're successful, there's always going to be a fight. There's always going to be somebody. There's all, haters are going to hate, and that's okay though. By the way, because it would, how much would it suck if everybody loved everybody?
Yeah.
But
Dice said you want half the people hating you, half the people loving you. Yeah. But liking you is the death of everything.
Oh, dude, indifferent and indifference too. But well, here's the thing with Banksy. Banksy will be the first guy to tell you that he stinks.
Really?
Oh, absolutely. But the reality of it is that he creates irreverent, funny art that tickles me, that I respond to. There are some people who could be care less, and could, my parents, by the way, just think what he does is like cartoons.
Yeah.
But the important thing is, that's one of my bosses.
You know that guy?
Oh. Yep, that's Al. The important thing though
owns a clam shop?
Is he actually owns a Piccolo Buffalo where we'll be grabbing a bite.
Oh, nice. Okay.
The important thing is that what Banksy has done is he's brought awareness to the art form.
For sure.
That's what's
for
important.
For sure.
So people,
I would not,
you know,
be aware of things like we're sitting in front of without without that.
Exiting the gift shop, people hate Mr. Brainwash or whatever because they think he's a phony, but he sells art. He's just as valid.
Dude, he's
as
got
any
a giant
artist.
Gallery in on La Brea now.
Yeah, absolutely. He's got a gallery. He's moved to New York. He has a residency set up in New York. He bought a building. And
I never saw it. It's worth seeing.
Six of one, half dozen of the other. I'm not the biggest fan of Brainwash. I like Terry a lot as a human being and as a person. He's a great guy, and he's been a supporter of the Lisa Project.
No, I mean the movie.
Exit the Gift Shop is a lot of fun. It's hilarious.
Really?
I mean, it's a comedy, man. Banksy nailed it in regards. Again, he captured the funny and the irreverence that his art is. He's captured in this film. The film itself is a piece of art.
I like how people, like, when they were like maybe nominating for an Oscar,
yeah,
and they were like, well, he's going to have to reveal himself if he gets in his Oscar, and it's like he makes tons more money doing his art than that. Why would he have to reveal himself award that he didn't care about?
I think what Banksy cared about is people seeing the movie, just like people seeing his art. And the great thing about it is that, again, by him getting people excited and doing these great things, other artists have been able to sell their artwork and create a living for themselves at what they want to do. Because just like stand-up comedians, artists are the same accord. All they want to do is be able to make a living doing their art.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Now, if the artwork's worth hundreds of thousands of dollars at some point and people can live a nice lifestyle, that's a great thing, too. But Banksy, the one thing is, I feel, if you want to ask me personally how I feel, bad for Banksy.
Why?
Because all he has to do now, his entire life is about hiding his identity. His entire life is about being judged, like, what's the next big thing is he going to do?
Lame.
Like, people that came, when he did his residency,
it's a lame existence.
It's a lot of home life, that's for sure.
I feel the same shit about Louis C.K., guys like that. I'm like, what did you want here? You can't walk around anymore.
Right, that's just it. And so it's a trade-off that you give, and people forget that, because people always want to think the grass is greener, but it's not.
It's not.
And so for Banksy, I'm sympathetic to him, and I'm a defender of him. And there's been rooms where I know I've been in a room where Banksy's been, and Space Invader and some other guys. I know they've been in the room, and people are like, who do you think he is? Like, I don't care. And they're like, why don't you care? Don't you want to know who Banksy is? I'm like, if I'm meant to know Banksy, someday I will. But in the meantime, isn't part of the fun not knowing who he is?
Yeah, it's fun. Why are you trying to uncover shit? Then you know that's the game. Why are you trying to ruin the game?
The scavenger hunt is not about finding the item. It's about the adventure of trying to find it.
Being with your friends on a scavenger hunt.
Yeah, right. And there's like running around, going to these different places, seeing it. That was like the great thing about his residency. It was like he took me to the five boroughs. He took me to Staten Island. I'm going to tell you, pal. Banksy. He did a couple pieces of art in Staten Island. I would have never gone to Staten Island to try to see his artwork. Or certain areas of the Bronx. Ray took me. He's from the Bronx. He's a Puerto Rican guy from the Bronx. And we went to see a piece of art. He goes, you know, the hospital I was born at is that hospital right there, a block away. So, and it's like, we never even talked about where I was born and where he was born. It had never come up. So all these magic moments came out of the experience. And that's what matters. And that's why I think he's a great artist.
I take it back about like finding like stores or shops around those pieces. Like, let people find their own shit.
Yeah.
Let them go there and then like wander around and see what you can find.
And people get mad at me because I never put the location of the murals on. I never divulge the locations. Other people do it. Other people put like, this is at the corner of here and here. But I'm like, well, no, you got to find it.
That's kind of the joy, turning a corner and be like, whoa, look at this.
Yeah, like if people direct message me or email me, like, please, I want to take my parents or whatever, absolutely.
Yeah.
But for me, like, you have to like make an effort. And the reason I do that also, Ari, is because what I learned is that people have Instagram experience versus real life experience, where they see the picture and they think that's enough. And I'm like, no, you have to physically go and experience the weather, the business, the people around you. All the people that are looking at us right now, how you doing?
Hi.
How are you? Very good. Yeah. And like, see, these are all like, that was a moment like, you know, the old chat, like, what is that about? They'll never know. They just saw two dudes with a microphone. We could be two crazy people just randomly talking into a microphone for no reason.
We had once I was interviewing J-Fod about his whatever he has, schizophrenia.
Yeah, oh yeah, there's anxiety. No, it's anxiety.
Anxiety.
Yeah, schizophrenia would be tough.
And there's all this, there's all these black kids playing handball. And they're like, can we say hi? Yeah. They're like, hello, America. I'm like, it's not really, all
right, enjoy. Right, well, but yeah, but they think it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had a fun moment.
Yeah.
So I
think a lot of the pushback, maybe, it comes from like people believing that Banksy's the one saying, I'm great, when it's actually other people saying, he's great. And it's like, he's just trying to make good shit.
Right. He's just, listen, all he can do is create the work that he wants to create and try to be relevant. And it's not the guy's fault if Brad Pitt falls in love with his art or if whatever celebrity, the guy from Coldplay, has got a boner for him. Because, and by the way, if people are saying, well, all he does is hang out with celebrities, I'm like, well, you got to think about this. Who is good at protecting their private lives and personal and being able to do things secretly is celebrities.
Celebrities. So sometimes, I have respect for that.
That's like, you know, that's who you got to run with now, because average Joe Schmo may tell whatever tabloid this or whatever rat you out. I mean, I've been ratted out by people.
He's with a girl.
The telephone game, and people, like, I say, I make one comment as a joke, and all of a sudden it gets blown up into some type of negative thing. I got a text message from an artist that I absolutely adore who thinks that I threw him on the bus and talked shit about him when I made one joke about them going like, listen, they're burning the candle at both ends, man. You can't party all night and try to work all day. And I go, when you do that, you end up looking like me.
Yeah.
So I'm the ass of the joke. And somehow this guy now is like, whoever said this stuff to him, somehow now this guy thinks that I'm a fucking asshole when I was ultimately making fun of myself.
Mm.
Because, ladies and gentlemen, I'm a gentleman who's about 50 pounds overweight with a lot of gray hair. So,
right.
So
50 pounds, you think?
I'm 45.
45 pounds,
to be honest with you, yeah.
That's fair. But I like the fact that Banksy is like, most of this stuff is like, he just leaves it there.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Like when that small thing I saw was that pyramid that they built, and the guy stole it. Like, stole it from who?
Yeah.
It's not mine.
Right.
I put it out there.
Right.
There's no crime.
Right. He just, listen, people saw it, the Sphinx.
The Sphinx. Yeah,
people saw it. You know what's funny about that? In my apartment, where the TV was in the living room, if you notice it, there's one piece of concrete. When I went to see that, I was talking to my buddy RJ. I go, there's all this broken rock here. I'm like, do you think somebody get pissed at me if I take it as a paperweight? He goes, who cares? It's broken up concrete. He goes, yeah. He goes, take a piece. So it always makes me laugh when I see that they did a movie on HBO. There was a documentary about how this guy, this fancy German gallerist, is trying to sell the pieces. Yeah. They're like, yeah, it's complete. I'm like, no, it isn't. They don't have every single piece. So
it'll never be a finished puzzle.
That's right. You know, so if people see it, all they see is a piece of concrete. But for what I have, though, is I have a cool paperweight that reminds me of that time where I went to this place behind Met Stadium or Yankee Stadium. I forget where it was. But it was behind one of the baseball fields, and it's this whole other world that I never would have gone to in my entire life, as I mentioned earlier. It's like, it was really cool. It was like, not only I got to experience the city with Banksy, you know what I mean? And I had never met him, never saw him, although we did see him when he did the bumper car thing with the Grim Reaper. He came in to set it up. Yeah, he literally came. He was in a hoodie with sunglasses on, tied. He's a ginger. He's a fair-skinned English guy.
That Disney shit is unbelievable.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, you can't break in there.
Yeah.
There's cameras everywhere.
Yeah, right. Right, yeah. That's another thing.
It's like half artist, half fucking...
Yeah.
Unless he worked it out with the Disney company.
Well, I think that... I think that people get complacent and think that they're doing something a certain way and...
You figure out where
the loopholes are and where to figure it... Yeah, to figure it out. Absolutely. Damn. Listen, I've been lookout for a couple of artists doing some illegal installations. Lisa Project, out of our 46, two of them are illegal.
Yeah.
And one of them was... it was a protest piece that was like about Michael Brown and Eric Gardner... And all these brown skin folks that were getting killed by the cops.
Yeah.
And what we did is we did a guy that was killed in San Francisco, a guy that was Michael Brown was killed in or Eric Gardner or whatever was killed in St. Louis, guy that was killed in Staten Island who I can't breathe. And then there's this kid Rifa who was a graffiti artist that was killed down in Florida. And we put it in the Lower East Side. There's this Jewish monument shop, and it's the last one of all in New York that where you could buy a headstone is this place.
Uh-huh.
And it was owned by two brothers. One brother said yes, the other brother said no. And the brother that said yes, I go, well, your brother said no, he can't do it. He goes, no, you got to do it. It's important. He goes, people are being killed by the police. This is wrong. And he goes, listen, my brother goes to sleep at 8 o'clock. He sleeps very soundly. He goes, go there after 8. And we went there, and the cops came by, and I kind of gave a little fib, and they kept going. And it was really, and I'll show you a picture of it. It was really compelling because it was on this black gate with these four names on, just their names. And then when you step back and you look at the monument, that it's a, you realize that it's a monument shop for headstones, or it's a store to buy headstones for graves.
Yeah.
You really kind of get like, okay, this is a headstone to these
there.
Four people, right?
Yeah, it's specifically there.
And they left it up for 6 months. It got a good 6 month run, and got covered by the press, and people talked about it. But at the same time, Ari, when the two cops in Brooklyn that got killed by that random dude that shot him, I also put up a mural in Brooklyn by the police station of the cops named Ramos.
How'd
and
you
the
do
other
that?
Guys.
You went to the cops?
Oh, no, we just went there, and I gave them paint, and they were the graffiti writers, so they made it real quick, and I'll show you a picture of that as well. They did them real quick, and we did a tribute to the cops as well. Because the bottom line, Ari, no matter what the circumstances are, no matter what the discussions are, no one deserves to die like an animal. No one deserves to be choked out. No one deserves to be shot randomly. No one deserves to die. And that was the message that I was trying to get across.
Yeah, that always gets lost. When like, who's at fault? Well, I couldn't have known he couldn't breathe, or he is asthmatic.
Well, let's talk about it.
No one deserves to die, though.
Yeah, right.
Can we just say that?
Right, you know.
He should still be alive.
Yeah, right. I mean, like, you know, he was selling loose cigarettes. You know, give the guy a break. You know, like, you know, you don't have to kill him, but you know, at least starting the discussion.
Defend that. He goes, I'm a shop owner, and if I have people like selling loose cigarettes outside my store, then I lose money. They're not going to come in and buy cigarettes when you can just buy one right there. And I go, okay, fine. Let's just say that's true. I get it. Maybe you have a point. Do you think a guy deserves to be like pushed into the pavement and have his face rubbed in and maybe killed because he's asthmatic over it?
Right.
Or do you think they should just say, hey, get out of here?
Right.
Like, what's the answer? Because, like, that wasn't the answer to, oh, I can't sell cigarettes in my store if this guy's out there.
And by the way, if somebody's buying a loose cigarette for 50 cents, odds are they don't have the 13 bucks to buy a pack.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So how are you losing money? How are you losing money?
Exactly.
And how many times?
For one.
I don't know about you, but as somebody who struggled to quit smoking and remain a quitter, there have been times where I've like felt good, let me a little drunk, a little stony or whatever, and I want to enjoy a cigarette because I'm having a nice.
But one. Not fucking a whole pack.
And not have 19 more of them, right?
You're definitely gonna be a smoker now,
right? You know, like f that, and that's how some friends get hooked again, because I just want to have one, but then that.
Somebody made that point too of like, oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Somebody made that point of like, it's not so much that he was selling loose cigarettes; it's an environment where he has to sell loose cigarettes to survive.
Right. How about that?
Yeah.
How about that?
Not everybody has jobs. It's not Switzerland where everybody's rich. Like, this guy has to do that to get by.
Listen, people don't make conscious decisions unless there's like a mental health issue or things like that. People don't want to be homeless. People don't want to be struggling on the street, hustling, begging for money, you know, selling loose cigarettes or selling, you know, stolen this item, stolen that. But, you know, you look at like, you know, again, I don't know. Most of the people that struggle in this country seem to be of a brown skin nature, and then white folk have it bad too. Not everybody. It's not an equal equation here. But you know.
Well, let me ask you a question. It's not an answer I haven't gotten from anybody. All right, Black Lives Matter.
Right.
Let's say that. Yeah, let's say more often black people get hurt, whatever, and maybe it's because black people are more in a violent area or whatever. Whatever the reasons are, whatever went into that. But okay, Black Lives Matter. Now what?
Right.
So now what? Yeah, so black people have it harder. And then what? And then what are we supposed to do now?
Right.
I'm not a cop. I don't really have any say other than on this podcast, which I guess is actually a lot of say. But like, what do we do now?
Well, I think what it comes down to is being engaged in your community. Not everybody can be engaged in your community. Not everybody could vote and make that that toll. But what you can do, Ari, for example, is that how can you help? Well, if you see somebody that is speaking on behalf of the community and in a smart way, in a productive way, or if you see a politician who does appear to be that he's going to try to instill change and help things, like people want to beef on Obama or whatever because change. Like, listen. He tried, and what we realize is that there's more of a machine that's been put in place than people realize. That being a politician is more of a figurehead than somebody that can make change. So, but what you have to do is you have to keep trying, though. You can't stop trying. Black Lives Matter. What I would challenge is that all lives matter, and that that we should all talk to each other and not be so afraid to cross the street because you see some black kids can laughing and being joyful, and somehow that might be perceived as a negative. But again, though. But again, but there have been times where I've walked past a group of black kids and they've been totally cool. There are other times where I've walked past a group of kids and they call me names.
Yeah.
So it does have to do with environment and people. You know, people have to start giving a shit about each other as a whole, not just pick and choose who I trust.
Just
I trust
lives.
That one
lives
that one.
Matter,
dude. Lives matter. When I was dead broke, when I lived in urban areas or whatever, I would go to the grocery store or drugstore or whatever, and I'd steal a 12-pack a case of beer. Yeah. I'd walk right out with a case of beer, and my black buddy would be like, I'm like, you go stand over here and look at this expensive stuff. And
because he'll get the eye.
Because he would get the eye the entire time. And it's like, yeah. So it's just like, hey, you got a white guy ripping you off too. You should think about that. That's a very telling statement, you know. And now, thankfully, I don't have to do that anymore. But when I was doing it, I had to do it. You know why? Because I couldn't get a job. You know, right. Because the environment that I was in, the economy that was going on, you know.
Yeah, nobody steals. Well, we're not a writer, I guess, but besides
yeah,
that.
Yeah, right. Yeah, unless there's a malfunction, right. No. Yeah, if you have a. Dude, one of the greatest feelings in the world, I know for all people, is that when you're able to pay your bills and you got money left to live.
Oh, God.
Such
it's
a
amazing.
Good feeling.
It's amazing.
Yep. And the art, you know, and all of it falls into that.
What I thought about Obama was, because I was into it too, I was like, change, I hope, I believe in it. And I mean, kind of feel betrayed by it, you know, now. But either he's a liar or the system is just unworkable.
Right.
And I believe more and more. I'm like, I think that's a guy who did want to make change.
Right.
And he wasn't able to.
And there was some.
Wasn't able to. So it's like, there's little bits. There's little pieces of social stuff.
There's like some health care. Little dabs of it. You know, little dabs of it. But again, though, but that doesn't mean you don't keep trying.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean you don't keep the fight, the good fight.
Yeah, it'll get easier, I guess. The more you do it, the more it'll get easier.
Like, even what I do is I try to, like, when I have meetings with the city, I'm like, listen, for every billboard that's out there, there should be a piece of art that people can enjoy. The billboards are important because people deserve to make money. People deserve to put their product out there and try to sell it and make money. But at the same time, there should be things like this that you can just look at to enjoy or look at and go, oh, I hate that.
Well, it's like the idea of, like, public parks.
Right.
Libraries, museums.
Right.
It's like, this is not cost-effective stuff. Central Park.
Right.
I mean, if they had that right now, if they used to have buildings there and they all blew up because of something.
Right.
There's no way they'd make that a park.
Right. No chance.
That's too, the prime real estate.
Yeah, no, it's too much, too valuable. Here.
You can take a billboard and save a 10% sliver on the right of it and say this will always be for public art.
Or how about 2 months out of the year it'll just be a piece of art?
Sure.
For 2 months.
In between.
The other 10 months it'll be, you know, Coca-Cola ads and beer ads and whatever. But for 2 months we're just going to put up a cool piece of art. But people look at me like, oh, well, that's crazy talk. Well, I get $5,000 a month for them. I'll lose $10,000. Over 10 years it's $100,000. I'm like, I understand that, but what is your soul worth? What is your moral standing and who you are as a person? And people, again, because we don't talk to each other, because we don't engage each other, people are like, oh, fuck that guy. And when people tell me off, they won't let me paint a mural or whatever, I said, well, I'm going to come back and ask you again, because sooner or later, what I'm saying to you is going to register with you.
Oh, wow.
And there's like that mural where I showed you the boat, Hassan, he's a straight-up businessman. Straight up businessman. He only cared about that restaurant that he's putting in the base of the building. He wanted to monetize, blah, 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 blah. And finally I said, Hassan, Why don't you want to give tribute to the place where you are in Little Italy? Why don't you? Why? What are you so afraid of?
It can be more powerful.
Like, how is that
more important?
How is us putting a mural on that wall going to take any of that away from you?
Yeah.
And he's like, you know what? You're right. He goes, yeah. He goes, Wayne, paint your mural.
Wow.
And that was it. And it took a year. And people like to go, he's like, boy, you just won't shut up, or boy, you just won't give up. And I was like, no. And there are people out there, the way I feel about art, they feel about social change. So black lives matter, but I would challenge you to say, like, all lives matter, including the black ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know.
And cops' lives.
Yeah, cops. Listen, not every cop is horrible.
Those two cops didn't deserve to die.
Maybe
just in New York, but I feel like everywhere, when those cops got killed, there wasn't this public outrage.
No.
There was kind of nobody was like, good. But there was kind of a little bit of that attitude, a touch of it, of like, well, that's what's going to happen.
Payback's a bitch, man.
And this was directly a payback.
Right.
This was like, I'm doing this because this guy.
Yeah, he was nuts. He saw it on the news. He got pissed. He got in a car, drove to Brooklyn, and just shot the two first cops he saw.
See, here's my thing, though. I don't think the guy was nuts.
Yeah.
I think those are the first shots of the revolution.
Yeah, well.
I think that guy lit himself on fire in front of the Capitol.
Yep.
I don't think that was a crazy guy. They're like, he had no signs of a mental illness. Like, he was saying, this country's going away, and I'm going to make a statement.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think those are shots of the revolution, and we're just covering them up with, like, a mental illness claim.
Well, covering up with a mental illness claim, or also, too, because so much is going on, and nobody's paying attention to anything, that, you know, that we miss the start of the revolution and that, you know, because people get all swept up in their own lives and their own deal. That's the problem. Back in the day, man, there wasn't all these distractions, dude. You know, there was only three TV channels, and then there was a time where there wasn't TV. You know, there's a time where there's a radio station, and there are only three radio stations. And before that, there were only books.
Everyone will hear something. Now you it's know? Like, I mean, anything you do, 90% of the people in the country are never going to know about it.
People used to be terrified of newspapers and books. Now they could care less. Now you can't even sell books or magazines or newspapers, you know. So, you know.
Are there pieces that the artists have made that just didn't come out good, and they're like, I want this up?
Yes, there have been. Well, they don't feel that way.
Oh, okay.
But there are pieces that I've had. But I don't play favorites like that, because even if it doesn't, if it's not aesthetically pleasing to me,
to you,
or to the critics or people that are like, you know, the people know, I still let them run. I mean, a deal's a deal. If I say somebody do it for something's going to be up for a year on a gate for a year, then so be it.
It's going to be somebody's favorite.
Yeah.
Most people aren't going to like it, but somebody's going to be like, man, I really related to that one.
I tell you, people love it. Art is in the eye of the beholder. Just like when I booked a club, dude. Do you think I liked like impressionists and prop comics and all that stuff? When I'm like, I love the Jay Oakersons, the Patrice O'Neills, the Ari Shaffirs.
Yeah.
You know, people with a strong personal point of view that weren't afraid to share it. But I knew that if I booked that whatchamacallit, you know, like sometimes you got to pay the bills, and sometimes I'd have to put that impressionist on for a weekend because I know he'd pull out, you know, he'd sell the place out, and I knew that, you know, August is a hard month to make bills, you know, so you do what you got to do. But so, you know what I mean? So for that 1 month of the year, I'm going to make those compromises that I'm not comfortable with. But for the other 11 months, I'm going to do what I want to do, because I know the bodies will be there, and it'll be my job to make sure this is what's funny. This is what you need to come and see. This is important.
Yeah. I had somebody tell me, like, Carrot Top is actually great for comedy.
Oh, Carrot Top.
Because, like, he gets people going, like, oh, that's good comedy. And there's, like, something's a little missing. And then they get, in, like, see an opener or something. Like, oh, no. Jesus, look at how big that
is. I remember talking about Carrot Top to Barry Katz, and I was being hypercritical of Carrot Top. And I go, like, a guy wears makeup, and he's this and that and da-da-da-da. And Barry's like, he goes, yeah, and? He goes, and Barry was brilliant about it. He goes, listen, man, Carrot Top comes from a bit of a vaudeville vibe, a bygone era that he may not be your audience, but I promise you, when he's selling out 6-8 shows a week or whatever in Vegas, there are millions of people that he makes happy every year. And he goes, and that's good, because those millions of people are meant to see him so that you could focus on the people that you want to come to see the comics that you care about. Because it's all art, man. Yeah. It's all relevant. It's all important. Just because it doesn't matter to you doesn't mean it doesn't matter to him,
right?
And that Carrot Top audience would never come to enjoy a Jay O'Christian show.
No,
never would.
You need to give them something, otherwise they'll come to the Jay show,
or they won't love any comics. Right, and they'll hate comedy forever, and they'll be shit talkers about comedy.
Yeah, give them an option,
you know. And maybe their kids, you know, the kids go like, Carrot Top was funny, made me laugh, I like comedy. And then they go to a comedy club and they're like, oh well, I liked him, but I love him,
right?
You know, and that's how it works.
Yeah,
dude, that's how it worked for me. I saw those pieces of street art on the street, and I took their names down, and I started Googling them, and then that artist led to another artist, led to another artist, to another, to another, to another, until all of a sudden I find myself, I'm one of the, you know, foremost people that work in mural arts and street arts for New York City.
Who should people follow in terms of this type? Because I started following on Instagram, I followed the Clayton Brothers for a while.
Yep.
And it was like, oh, this is just cool updates. A nice piece of art that I'm like, awesome. My friend Kevin Christie was an artist too. He'll put shit up like that. And I was like, yeah, I would love to see this.
Listen, Tristan Eaton, Connor Harrington, Ron English, Aleche, who else really matters? Oh, God,
they
Leon Reed.
They all have Instagrams and stuff.
They all have Instagrams, and this is all stuff. You know, again, also, too, like, if you go to the website and you email me, if you're an artist that is struggling, or if you're somebody who wants to know, hey, what's some cool art, I'll be happy to answer that
question. LisaProject.com.
LisaProject.org. We are a non-for-profit. So.
And the Lisa Project NYC on Instagram.
On Instagram, yep. That's basically the best one to follow. You could find us on Facebook and all that other stuff, but Instagram's about the most fun.
Wow.
Yep.
Wait, but what do you think? I was about to say, I think that's good.
I think we're cool.
Yeah, that's cool. That's really cool.
Some social change.
And they're doing this in other cities, too?
Do you
think the Instagram has caught on because it's such a temporary art form? Like that,
the Aleche piece.
Aleche.
Right.
That won't be there in 30 years.
No. Odds are the owner of that building will probably take that door and put it in his living room.
Yeah, maybe. Oh, yeah, right?
You know,
that what happens?
Oh, sometimes. Yeah, sometimes my pieces get taken down and all that, yeah. But
like, it is temporary, and that a photograph is now a way to make it less temporary.
There's an amazing photographer who is a part of the fabric of the street art and graffiti world. Her name is Martha Cooper. Martha Cooper Graham is her Instagram handle. And Martha she said it best. She's like, she goes, Wayne, she goes, street art and graffiti, it's temporary because of how the nature of how it's executed. But the photographs, especially now with the internet, they last forever. And that's the great thing about it, man, is that you can still appreciate it. So that's why I tell people, I'm like, get out there, get out of your fucking apartment, get out of your house, go see it in person. And not just art, you know, go to the park, just listen to quiet, you know. Even the lights here on Mulberry Street, they used to put all these arches over Mulberry Street, and the lights, they were all antique, and they're like, oh, these are antique, we love them, we love them. I'm like, dude, they're all broken and old, and they represent a time that's never going to come back. I'm like, let's put zigzag on the street so that people's eyes follow the zigzag, and it'll draw them in, and they'll see all this cool shit that's happening here. And it was one of the best decisions we ever made.
Dude, I love New York City in terms of, like, the architecture, and just, like, this building's kind of flat and boring.
Yep.
But, like, even that, above the windows, that little extra piece where the bricks come out.
Right.
You know, it's like, that doesn't increase the people on the inside's value of life at all.
No, no.
They can't even see it.
Nope.
But it's fucking beautiful.
Aesthetically, it's pleasing for the eye. And the star design.
They didn't have to do it. That's not good for the budget.
But imagine, like, Ari, if I like that gray building next to it with the checkerboard or this building here. Imagine if I just put a simple, crisscrosses of different colors going up and down. Imagine how much cooler that would be and how much beautiful. You take that ugly building and make it something special.
Yeah.
You know?
Art matters.
It does matter. And it's all art. Just like stand-up comedy is art. Even math. Even to a certain extent, math is art.
We should have like a show at the end of that fucking art walk. And the only way you can get in is if you show five pictures of you in front of art. Five different pieces. That's the only way you can get in. Free.
People always want me to put conditions on things. And I love that idea. No, but I humbly say no.
Right.
I go, it's there for everyone to enjoy. And listen, if we do our job, people will be so enthralled and excited by the art that they'll want to come to that show. And Ari, that may be a very good idea. I have some podcasting happening in a lot, but I don't have a comedy show. I have some comedians. The Skanks are going to do some stuff for us.
Oh, really?
The Skanks, SDR.
The Skanks, hey, listen, if art show?
They're going to be in that lot. I'm doing a live podcasting on Sunday afternoon. You're welcome to join us if you'd like to do a live podcast and talk to some of the artists. They're interesting people. They're crazy and out there.
Oh, that could be interesting. For sure,
yeah.
I do that.
Yeah, sure. If you're in town, the 5th through the 9th. Especially
July?
Of August. August 7th.
Oh, no,
yeah.
No.
I think you're gone, too. That's why I probably didn't ask
you.
Which is but listen, great art scene in Scotland as well.
Really?
Absolutely.
What
absolutely.
Should I check out in Scotland?
Well, I'm going to have to check on that for you. I'm a little more versed with the Irish artist than I am with the Scottish artist. But the great thing about it is there's a certain but artists that from the UK, Ireland, and Scotland, they have a bit of a Renaissance quality to them, which is actually really exciting to see. It's some old master techniques incorporated with a new way of delivering the message through street art or graffiti.
So you got into this just by getting into it?
Yeah.
No just, classes, just, no nope. anything. You just studied nope. and just watched studied, yep. and looked and just like learned more.
That's it. That's it. Yeah.
Would you say that's like a sort of a path for anybody or no?
Listen, the internet is an amazing thing. You can learn a lot. But the key is, though, is that once you learn it, you have to execute it. My way of executing, my way of doing is helping the artists. Listen, artists don't want to talk to building owners and permits the city. But, dude, I used to be a manager. All I did was talk about logistics and things of that nature. And the art is exciting for me. So, for me, I like, oh, really? You'll paint a mural for me if I take care of the permits and the boom lift and all that bullshit? They're like, absolutely. I'm like, done. You know, because what I get in return is, here's the one difference between the comedy and the art. When the show ended, I used to love it afterwards in stand-up New York. The comics would hang in front. People would take pictures. You were so funny. This was so great. Everybody got a compliment. Everyone
and
took
you were
pictures.
Like, I put that together.
And I did. I would sit back and I'd pull a cigarette and I'd watch it. I go, I did that.
Hell yeah.
But it would end, though. But it would end at that, you know, by 2 a.m. it would be over. The great thing about the art is, even now as we've been sitting here, people have been snapping pictures and taking stuff. It lasts.
Yeah.
It just lasts. It goes on and on and on. And I can pick up the phone and go to Instagram or any of the social media platforms and see people sharing the work I've done.
Hell yeah.
Yep.
Dude, I love that.
Yep. It's very, very cool. And, you know, and I have comedy to thank for it.
Fuck yeah,
it
Wayne.
It was a New York comedy festival that brought
that
it all
it
together.
In.
That's right.
Oh, that's cool about Ferranda, too. I didn't even... Like, that's just
Lewis,
the way it starts. It's so weird the way shit starts up.
Lewis and Caroline are the biggest purveyor of ours. People get angry because sometimes if you say yes to one person, you have to say no to 10 others. But I'll tell you what, this one time they say yes.
That's the problem. You're facing someone's rejection.
Yeah, but you can't take it personal, man. Yeah. If somebody says no, that doesn't mean they're not going to say yes to you later. And Lewis, I was very blessed that Lewis and Caroline both said yes to me and they saw the vision, except for that fucking hurricane.
Was your stuff underwater at all?
Oh, dude. Well, some of it was wheat paste, and some of it, because the wind was blowing around, it got all scuffed up and ruined.
Oh.
So, and then what people forget is, like, a few days later, a blizzard hit.
Oh.
Yeah, so it was a miserable time for New York.
How long does it take for these things to dry?
The mural. Oh, well, the great thing is by you, we use a lot of spray paint, so it's almost instant.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Yep.
All right, Wayne Rader. Cool. Anything else?
Ari Shaffir, that's it. That's I would say to you, make sure you support your comedians. And if you're listening now, if there's a comic you love, call your local comedy club or your theater and tell them to book them. And if you support your local artist.
Hell yeah, why not? Hell right yeah. On. Get involved.
Right.
Help
that's
out.
That's right. You can do something by simply picking up your phone, Google the phone number, and call them up. Be a person for a change. Yep. And stop talking shit on social media, all you haters out there.
Yeah, it's not all about the bad shit.
Yeah, how about it, dude?
Love. That's you know right. What? We had so for the show, this, you know, we had this lady, Miss Pat, on.
Yep.
And she's a fine. I mean, I went out of my way to be like, who are the black people that I don't know about? The comics. Yeah. And people kept pointing me to her, and I found her, and she was great. She's
I know Miss Pat, yeah.
But somebody wrote a blog shitting on it. It's like, you didn't have enough women on your show. I'm like, we had 6 women on our show.
Right.
And also, instead of shitting on the negative, there's like some feminist group like, why don't you promote Miss Pat?
Right.
Here's a
right.
woman who's right. like no one knew about. She's got a crazy background. Promote her.
And before the
something
people
positive.
And before people perceive you as being an asshole and anti whatever, why not send an email to you and say, hey, Ari, we love your show. The only thing is it'd be cool if you get a couple more women comedians. Here are 5 that I would recommend that I absolutely love.
Sure, absolutely. I'll look into that.
Right.
Or I'll be like, we asked them, they're too big for this.
Try whatever to inspire. Try to inspire. that's
yeah, that's the way to do it. How about yeah. get these people instead of
yeah. instead of like instead
not
of being
instead
anonymous,
of, just like I'd like to also see these people.
Yeah.
These are 4 funny women I want to see.
Inspire. And if people don't answer the first email, send a second. If they don't answer the second, send a third. If they don't answer your first call, call again and again. It took me a year to get a little mural up, and you can't stop. And don't be an asshole about it. You know, be nice about it. You'd be surprised at what help you could change people's minds.
Wayne Rader, Purveyor of the Arts.
Yep, cool. I think this is enough.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks, man. Story of my life. That salami was delicious. Thank you, Wayne Rader. What a wonderful episode. That was fun. Outdoors. Please go visit my Amazon link. Go to AriTheGreat.com and then click on the Amazon link before you go to Amazon so help support the show so I can do fun stuff. Wayne didn't take the $100. Instead, he donated it to the cause. He used it. Put it right back into this. Don't forget, guys, lowmanartfest.org if you want to volunteer. It's August 5th through the 9th. August 5th through 9th. All over Lower Manhattan. Yeah, that's the episode. All right, that's it. That's it. We got nothing to add. Right? What should I do in Scotland, in Edinburgh? Like, what are the things to do? Tell me what I should do there. Yeah, if you have suggestions, tweet them to me or email me. Yeah, like if you've been there before. And don't forget, tell your friends. Oh, whatever. All right, I already told you. Should be fun. I haven't explored that place before. Go around Scotland a little bit. Carr said there's tons of good like shows. Yeah, should be cool. All right, ladies and gentlemen, Ari Shaffir's kept today. Episode 229, Lisa with Wayne Rader. Over and out.
Yo, I can still smell the paint in the air like I was there. I used to ride a 7 train way back and just stare at the colors on the roof. Pale yellow was the shit. Everybody wildin' out, anybody was a fit. Pile of marker in my pocket, everything was getting hit. When you come through correct, your whole staff get big. Triple outline, taking my time to look crisp. Can't control, crushing calm, straight stomp, we don't miss. 4-finger chips, street cry lines like full clips. Kill something, spray it past the weapon, keep stepping. Niggas know my style, still reppin', no question.
I drop a lot of jewels when I rhyme, so pay attention. In New York, we make walls talk free expression. Beyond comprehension of the regular is deeper. Pain in my pocket, fat cap in my sneaker. Late night on a mission for self. I got the fever. Adrenaline rushing as I see a transit cop coming. Now I start running, hop pursuit, drop the paint, hop the roof, slip, fell, cut myself, my left hand leaking. I'm not trying to go to Central Bookings for the weekend. I'm moving like a marathon winner, never a quitter. Big chasing me for bullshit, I'm wondering why they bitter. So I go left, go right, go left, hit the ass, run around the corner and I hop into a cab. Now I'm moving, got away, close call, still bleeding, shirt ripped, scuff kicks, out of shape, heavy breathing, not discouraged on my mission. Never that, I'm still proceeding, doing spots like an even Monday to the weekend. Peace to all the writers catching tags every evening. Spots seeming hot, gleaming, permy walls on forever shit. Drop rhymes like 7 million Arab rebel terrorists. One love coming from a spray paint specialist, you heard?